This free program is paid for by the listener members of KPFT Houston. If you're not already a member, think about joining with us to help keep free speech alive.
64000. This is KPFT Houston.
The disorders began with a routine police raid on a homosexual bar, the Stonewall, on Christopher Street.
Say it loud, say it proud.
We take great pride in what's happening in the gay community and what's going to happen.
People of Gay County have said enough.
Human rights are innocent. Need a break. Go away.
There's no question in my mind that the people of California don't want homosexual teachers in their classrooms.
State Senator John Brink has just conceded the act.
Both Mayor Moscone and Supervisor Harvey Milk have been shot and killed.
Ann White has been found guilty of one count each of voluntary manslaughter.
It has now broken loose. Cops are now bashing heads.
And here comes the National March on Washington for lesbian and gay rights.
Gay power, gay politics. That's what this report is about.
There are gay and lesbian people singing out here. What's your reaction to that?
I think it's terrible. Had a rocket thrown at them.
The real message of these gay games is that every one of us is a winner.
Tonight, we are marching as are others across America, and we shouldn't have to be.
I say it so they can hear you in the Capitol! For love and for life, we're not going back!
I think that's Robin Tyler on the stage leading the chant. For love or for life, we're not going back.
Good afternoon, and welcome to the National March on Washington, D.C. for gay and lesbian rights and call reciting. Let's hear it out there! I'm Leah Delaria.
I'm Bruce Hopkins.
I want you to savor this next moment. I have the proud task of telling you that the official count of the lesbian and gay rights march, the official count is over 500,000 strong! 500,000 strong!
Once and for all, shatter them. We must continue to speak out, and most importantly, every gay person must come out. Difficult as it is, you must tell your immediate family, you must tell your relatives, you must tell your friends if indeed they are your friends, you must tell your neighbors, you must tell the people you work with, you must tell the people in the stores you shop in. And once they realize that we are indeed their children and we are indeed everywhere, every myth, every lie, every innuendo will be destroyed once and for all. And once you do, you will feel so much better.
Harvey, do you have a few words for KPFA?
Yes. Come on out. Join us. Bring a friend.
What do you think about the turnout so far?
Well, it's never enough. Never enough. Never enough.
And I ask people all over this country to do one thing. Come out. Come out, America. Come out.
I said I like that Harvey Milk thing.
Boy, I know.
Every time I hear it.
You know, that tape brings back a lot of memories.
Why?
Well, that's the way you used to open the show.
That's the way we used to open the show. And the show is called After Hours, and it's heard every...
Yeah. That was the opening that we used to do way back in the 80s when we first started this show. That was the opening we used to do way back in the 80s when we started this show.
Start with
tonight is the 20th anniversary of After Hours. We started this show September 6th, 1987. I was not here at that time. I didn't know about the show at all until 6 months later. And I heard it one night and came up here the next weekend, and I haven't been home since. That's what it's been like for me. And you listened to it, as people have read this week in the Outsmart magazine.
Yeah, didn't know about it at the beginning of the show. I came in, I must have been 18 or 19.
Mm-hmm.
As it says in there, I have to credit Outsmart and an adult bookstore for finding After Hours. found out, at that age I didn't have access to the videos and that, so I went to one of the bookstores, mm-hmm. watched a video, found Outsmart magazine, and in the back they promote the shows, and found out about it and started listening in with the now infamous what I refer to as the diaphragm on a rope. I need to bring it in one time. I've got to go buy one.
You've talked about
it
so much.
It's something I got at Radio Shack. It's called a speaker pillow.
Okay.
So basically, just think of it as one side of a headphone that has a wire going in it that you put under your pillow,
mm-hmm.
so that you don't feel it pressuring. You can put it on the underside of your pillow, turn the volume up, and you can hear the show.
Gotcha.
You can hear what you have on the radio. And I started listening to that, and I don't know when I showed up here. The first time I showed up on here, I was drunk off my ass.
Yes, you were. Early mid-90s, I'd say.
Well, I'll put it this way. I know as much of this, that because of other anniversaries that are going on this mm-hmm. week, I know it's at least 10 years, probably 11 years ago. Because I do remember being a part of Q Patrol with... the anniversary here of Dee McKellar's death.
Yes.
And I know I was fairly along with that, so I've been at least with Q Patrol for 6 months. And I got involved with Q Patrol through this radio show.
By the way, I'm Jimmy Carper. I'm the co-executive producer of this show.
And I'm Chris Harrison, the other one.
Yes, you are. A lot has happened in 20 years. We're going to talk a little bit throughout the show about what it was like 20 years ago. Tonight we're going to be playing music that we played in the early 80s on the show. And let me tell you, gay music was not easy to find back then.
He brought out the vinyl, and it's not for sex purposes.
Yeah, that's right. That's right. That's what we had. That's what we played. As a matter of fact, Buddy and I, Buddy Johnston, who was the originator of the show, and I bumped heads a lot because I wanted to only play gay music by my definition, that's by gay artists. He was more of, he wanted to play what was popular in the clubs that he felt had a message to the community. And, of course, he being the producer, he went out until 1991 when he left and I took over. But as a special treat tonight, I have a tape of the very first After Hours show. And I want you to note something here. Life was very different 20 years ago. The message to the community was come out of the closet. That was the message. Mm-hmm. That was all he hoped to accomplish. Because he was a dispatcher with HPD, and just opening the mic the first night was absolutely terrifying for him, because he figured that next Monday he would be fired.
Yeah.
It didn't happen. But something interesting, in the very beginning, you're going to hear a promo that he had made and had played for several weeks. They played it on the air several weeks. Nowhere in that promo does it say that After Hours is a show for the gay community. He never uses the word gay, not until further into the show. So let's play that. Mm-hmm. And you'll get a taste of life in 1987.
Johnston, what you're about to hear is the After Hours program, which was broadcast on KPFT-FM 90.1 in Houston, Texas, on September the 6th, 1987, between the hours of 2 a.m. and 4 a.m. The guest host in the studio with me that morning was Mary with the National March on Washington Committee here in Houston.
90.1 FM KPFT in Houston. Stephen Edwards with you, and this is the new hour for Musical Curfew here in Houston. And we'll be back next week for Marathon. Jay Lee will be hosting my alternate, and he also hosts Wake Up and Smell the Coffee. Free plug there, free plug guy. Okay. I'm hosting his alternate next week. We got a new show coming up next, and it's called After Hours, and it's going to be a show that you'll really dig a lot. So stay tuned for that.
Michel Jarre, and you are tuned to 90.1 FM, KPFT in Houston, listening to the Texas Super Radio.
Sunday, September the 6th at 2 a.m. It's coming your way. The show is called After Hours. It's radio celebrating life from the heart of the Montrose. There'll be music and news, call-ins and dedications, and much, much more. Sunday mornings from 2 to 4 a.m. beginning September the 6th. And it's right here on listener-supported Pacifica Radio. KPFT 90.1 FM. Where else but in Houston? Where else but the Montrose? And where else but on listener-supported Pacifica Radio? Join us Sunday morning, September the 6th at 2 a.m. for radio celebrating life from the heart of the Montrose. After Hours.
Boston. It's 2:07. My name's Buddy. The show's called After Hours. It's radio celebrating live from the heart of the Montrose. And we're glad that you're with us. Good morning, Mary.
Good morning.
Mary's with the March on Washington, and we're going to be telling you all about that later on. So what do we do now, Mary? Push a button?
Go ahead.
Go ahead.
Anyone.
Let's see what happens. Push a button. We're in control now.
Hi, this is Kevin.
This is Ron.
And we're from the Gay and Lesbian Switchboard Houston. And you're listening to After Hours on KPFT Houston 90.1 FM.
Ow! Well, Mary, that's it. This is Whitney Houston, 2:07. And we want to dance, so roll up your car windows. Turn the music up. Let's see what happens for the next 2 hours, because this is After Hours on KPFT. Whitney Houston, she's coming to Houston, isn't she, Mary?
She sure is.
Whitney Houston coming to Houston, she's coming to Houston. Well, the show's called After Hours. We've got a lot planned for you for the next 2 hours. At 2:30 every week, we're going to do a thing called Before Stonewall. Do you know what that means, Mary?
Yes.
That means we're going to play something, that you would have heard before Stonewall. We've got a song tonight from 1936 that's going to be kind of fun. At 3 o'clock, we've got news coming from the gay community, sports coming from the gay community. Yes, there is sports in Montrose, and our resident sports director is going to be in to tell you all about that. We've got a community bulletin board. All the community churches, the gay churches in the Montrose area, are going to be represented on that. What else is going to happen at 2:30? We already said 2:30, didn't we?
Yeah.
My poor little heart's just going pitter-patter, pitter-patter, pitter-patter. At 3:30, there we go, 3:30. At 3:30, we're going to have a segment called Starscope, or Astroscope, I think. Our resident psychic is going to come in and tell you all about what's happening. In the meantime, we're going to be talking about the March on Washington and playing some music for you. We hope you enjoy that. And I've been thinking about what to say all day, and there's only one thing I can say, Mary. Do you remember when you were a little kid and you used to play that game, come out, wherever you are?
Sure.
That's what we want to say to the gay community this morning. You've got something to be proud of. We're good people. We're decent people. We're people that live right next door, and we're going to talk about the March on Washington coming up October the
11th,
12th, and let's get back to some music. I'm getting excited about the march.
Whoa. Okay. Like I said, things are a little different back then. You noticed that it was Buddy and Mary. No last names were used. You notice that the first time the word gay was used was in a little piece of tape that he had made beforehand from two guys from the Gay and Lesbian Switchboard. And that's how he introduced the word gay on the show.
And then he dropped it like 3 or 4 times.
Gay this, so, gay that. Well, once it was said, I guess the ice was broken and he was able to say it. But
I mean, between him saying, you know, I was waiting for the euphemism. You know, all this program from the Montrose.
Yes.
And if you didn't get it from the Montrose part there, I swear I heard a lisp or two in there that I had to dry my ear.
That was the first, at the opening of the first After Hour show. My, how we've come along. Now you can't shut us up.
And now we say gay, we say lesbian.
We bisexual, say a lot more than that.
Queer, yes. Faggot.
Yeah.
Poof.
All those words. We can do that now. And so many of us are out of the closet that on National Coming Out Day, we have to accost perfect strangers to let them know that we're gay.
Well, gee, that gives me something I can do at work. Is Tom Ball ready?
So how would that be different than any other day with you at work?
Are you kidding me? I'm
accosting strangers.
Well, as soon as the fireman leaves.
We've got some guests here for our After Hours Quickie tonight. So we're going to fast forward to 2007 and bring them on. I have the pleasure of talking to the Empire of the Royal Sovereign and Imperial Court of the Single Star, Inc.
Yay!
Yay! Yay.
Hoo-yah!
Why are you grabbing your heart,
Did you hear
Chris?
That, Dennis?
Send Robert in here. I'm going to go have him. He actually got it right.
Hey, holla.
I usually do.
And now for the bonus question. Say the abbreviation.
Areses.
Yeah.
All right.
Praise Jesus.
That's a lot better than my old yeah. I used to say something like Arisikis or something. I don't know.
Whatever.
I think we got people still say Areses.
Areses.
Yeah. Is there anybody over here?
No, I'm in.
Then grab a mic and go to the left.
The mic is not there.
Not plugged in. There's
a mic. We're sharing a mic.
We're going to share a mic.
Okay.
Can you hear us now?
Yeah. So, we can hear you.
You feel us screaming it?
Oh, honey, you don't.
Wait a minute.
Mics. You don't have to get up on top of them.
Wait a minute. I'm actually trying to get a Falcon on the air.
Yeah, I was going to say this is the first.
This is the first time someone's asked him to speak.
Yeah, thank you. That's
first
true.
Of all, who all do we have here this evening? Let's start.
Let's go with the people who are supposed to be here.
I'm Doug Weiss, and I am Viscount 23.
Doug?
And I'm Treasure Darkside, and I am one of the two Viscountess 23s.
Wow.
I am the second Viscountess 23. I'm Craven Moorhead.
Knightley.
And I'm...
Always.
And I am a figment of your imagination, Aurelian. No, I am Imperial Prince Royal 23,
yes,
Falcon.
Yes, you are. Yes.
It's actually referred to as Bird Brain.
Bird Brain, yes. Everyone get that conversation again? Yeah.
So what's going on with the Reese's these days?
A lot.
Oh, my gosh.
We are in the community. We are out there. We are raising money for Legacy. We are doing a great job. Cheyenne and Chris Beck are our Emperor and Empress 23. They are wonderful. They are out there. They are traveling, actually,
as
at this moment.
Yep.
Really?
They are traveling around the United States and into other countries.
We deported them.
Yes, trust me. We had to get rid of them.
Is this on purpose?
No.
On purpose.
The Emperor's in, I believe, Cincinnati this weekend. For
the
coronation.
Is in what? In
And Austin for investiture.
For investiture.
Oh, my goodness.
Yeah.
They've split up. Cover more territory.
Yeah, we do that
of
once
course.
In a while.
I see.
We had to send them away so we can have some fun.
And we did.
Yes. That's Graven. I saw you in the parking lot.
Honey, you didn't see me in this parking lot. You seen me staggering up under the car bumpers. Trust.
I wouldn't go to the videotape of the back patio.
Undressing out of drag.
Craven's quite pretty tonight. Figurative and literal.
She's fresh.
And it's all on tape, honey.
Needless to say, I worked every poor person in the bar tonight.
And now they really are.
And obviously there's a lot of poor people.
They weren't too poor because they were buying me cocktails.
We were at EJ celebrating Ronnie Siebert's birthday.
We were celebrating his fifth year
anniversary from Rain 19.
Wow.
And raised over $300.
Yes.
Great.
So, yeah.
Great.
But we are out in the community as well as many other organizations raising money for this community to help the individuals that are not able to help themselves. I'm fortunately enough to be one of the newest members of Legacy Community Health Services, and before even became a member, I raised money for this organization, and fortunately enough, I was able to become a member of this organization to be able to help them even further to raise money for this worthy cause of 20, if I'm not mistaken, 23 different programs that they have.
Yes.
And it's a worthy cause, and ERISA's as well as other many different organizations are out in this community raising money every weekend for this worthy cause and other worthy causes. So
anybody break in there quick.
Yeah, okay.
I'm long-winded. Yes. That's why they call me Craven Moorhead.
Yeah, well.
Yeah, because she talks a lot.
She does talk a lot.
It's not because what you think.
We, and you've been doing it for 23 years.
Yes, yes.
This organization has been in 23 years.
I myself began serving with ERISA's back in 2001. Mm-hmm. And because of a job, I ended up in Dallas for a year and was serving with another...
The court up there?
Court up, yeah. Another one of the international court system... courts, and United Court of the Lone Star Empire is in Dallas, and our mother court for Texas is actually in Fort Worth, and then we have four other courts, one in Austin, one in Waco, one in Corpus, and one in San Antonio.
My goodness, does Texas have the most courts?
California. California does.
California still does.
Right. But we are running close behind.
Yeah, I bet.
But we also promote a united front as the United Courts of Texas when we're out of state.
Oh,
so we all walk as the United Courts of Texas rather than as our individual courts. Although we are recognized as from our individual courts during our walks. But yeah, it's a lot of fun, and you get to meet a lot of different people from across the country. And not only do you have that kind of fun, but you also are providing a great service to each of these communities that you go to.
Because all of these courts are raising money.
Exactly.
We also meet a lot of people from Canada and Mexico as well. They have court systems there that is affiliated with the court systems that we have here in Texas and across the United States. And there are a lot of people out there that are raising money for their communities and for a great cause, as we are doing here.
So my question is, Doug, are you that much of a man that you need two counterparts?
Well,
it takes two women to satisfy you.
Actually three. My husband's here too, so he actually served as emperor down in Corpus Christi before moving here to Houston.
So you have a husband, you have a wife, and you have something in between.
Something in between.
He has a little bit of Craven Moorhead in between.
And we not only have a lot of fun doing it, but we also have our serious times too.
Sure.
And you have to.
Sure.
This is a business after all, and we do have to operate as a business, and we need to make sure that we have all of our checks and balances in place, just like anybody else. We all of our books are always open to the public because we are a 501c3 charity.
Right.
We do have a general membership meeting, and anybody is always welcome to our general membership meetings. They are open to the public.
Which is tomorrow.
Tomorrow at 2 o'clock, yes.
At Legacy Community Health Services.
And we're holding it at Legacy. Yeah.
Well, that's great.
Yeah.
That's great.
And
right there in the lobby or upstairs?
It's right in the lobby. Okay. Right in the main lobby.
And everybody's welcome. You do not have to be a member of ERISA's to come and see what we're all about.
Well, if you want to
see... we will recruit you.
But if somebody would like to see what you're all about, that would be a good way to do it. Come to a meeting, see what's going on.
And you can also see some of the fun that we're having online, too, at www.erisas.org. That's E... as an empire.
ERSICSS.org.
Yes.
Yeah. And we have...
You will get to see some wonderful pictures throughout the last several rains that we've had.
Oh.
Our webmaster is working on getting the rains of the last 23 years uploaded to our website. But at this point, we only have for the last maybe 4 or 5 rains.
Yeah, I think 21 through 23 right now.
21 through 23, mm-hmm. And you can see the wonderful fun that we have every time and every weekend that we go out to raise money for this community. And not just for this community. I mean, when we travel out of state and out of town, we raise money for the communities that we go and visit as well.
Okay.
We raise money for their new emperor and empress that are stepping up for mm-hmm. their travel fund for them to be able to go run to raise money for the communities that they go visit. So,
as a matter of fact, last weekend our emperor and empress took things that we, between auctions and everything else, helped raise the Alaska court over $1,000.
Wow, how nice.
The rain this year, our emperor and empress, their theme is called bling. And our emperor this year, Chris Beck, has done wonderful things with creating t-shirts, CDs, and flyers and
really?
Stuff like that.
Air fresheners. You name it. He's got it.
He took to Alaska last weekend t-shirts and sold t-shirts this past last weekend and made wonderful amounts of money for the Alaskan court. So there are many different ways for us to raise money if we do car washes, garage sales, drag shows, for us to raise money for this community. And not just this community, but every community that we affect with everything that we do in our lives.
We do happen to include Galveston.
Okay, here you go, Jimmy.
I've got a couple of more questions for you, but we've got somebody on the phone, so can I put you on hold for a minute?
Sure. Thank you.
Can we swear?
In 10 seconds.
In 10 seconds?
Hello?
Hello, darling.
Lisa, how you doing?
I'm well. How are you?
I'm just great. Just great.
I just wanted to call in and hijack your show for a minute.
Mm-hmm.
I'm doing a play called Laughingstock.
Yes.
And it's at the Country Playhouse.
Really?
And it opens this weekend, this Friday.
Tell me about the play.
It's about repertory theater in New England.
Mm-hmm.
And it goes throughout the summer of the three plays they're doing. They're doing Charlie's Aunt and Hamlet and Dracul, Prince of the Undead.
Ooh, that sounds good.
If anybody's ever been in community theater, they will recognize every character in this play. And it is absolutely hysterical. It's written by Charles Morey,
mm-hmm.
and there are jokes upon jokes upon, you know, you have to pay attention to almost every word, and you'll get so much out of it. It's hilarious. And every night it seems like we find some other little twisted detail that he's thrown in. But I haven't been on stage in 20 years, so this is my my return to the stage.
Okay.
And
now,
for
folks who are listening in now, Lisa, you do a show here on the 1st, 3rd, and 5th Saturdays, right?
Sundays.
Saturdays. Saturdays. Because she starts at midnight.
They consider themselves a Sunday show.
Whatever. Okay. What are you?
We're Hot and Bothered Radio.
Yes. And you're the first, third, and fifth what day?
Sunday morning.
Gotcha. Okay.
Just for the sake of the fifth weekend, we have to say it's Sunday just to keep everybody straight and clear.
Okay.
Or at least clear.
Yes. And it is a wonderful show. I just love it. It's the best lead into After Hours that we've ever had.
I adore it. I can't wait to come come in next Sunday morning. I'm bringing cast members in from my show, from my play. Uh-huh. I get confused with the show and the play.
Yes.
And we're going to do a show about showmance, which is how every single time you do a six-week rehearsal period, it seems invariably someone ends up hooking up, and you fast-forward relationships. Everybody becomes really close, close friends.
Cool.
And the guy who is the lead in this play, Danny Siebert, is playing the artistic director of the theater.
Mm-hmm.
And he and I have become very close friends, and he is helping me bring my fag hag card current.
Well, I don't think it needed to be current. I listened to your show, and you are au courant.
I thought the first rule of being a fag hag is she has to get him laid.
Well, I'm working on that.
Oh, okay.
I'm bringing him up to the show, and I'm going to introduce him around next weekend.
Good.
And then he and I are going to do a show about the fag-fag-hag relationship.
Ah.
And, yeah, I'm really excited about that. I think it'll be great.
Yes, I do, too.
He wants to remind everybody that is in a fag-fag-hag relationship that it's all about the fag.
Mm-hmm.
So
why are you calling?
So I am calling because since my show opens before my next show, my mm-hmm. next Hot and Bothered show, I have some tickets to give away.
Ooh.
And I want to give away two pair of tickets to your listeners.
Okay.
And the theater seats about 200 people. There's not a bad seat in the house. And if you want to give away two pairs of tickets in any way, shape, or form, you want to give them away to callers.
Okay.
All I need is their name and their phone number. You can leave that in my box, you know, the one in the conference room.
Oh, that one.
Yeah, uh-huh. We don't go to the other box.
This is a gay show. We don't go to your other box.
That's right. I'm lying here basking in post-coital bliss. So
And some hot guy's got a shriveled up dick right now, doesn't he?
He's fast asleep, I assure you. Every ounce of energy has been
drained from his body.
Right.
Gosh. One of these days it'll be me doing that. Anyway.
It wasn't him. He's at the Rocky Horror Show with our daughter.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
See, people need to listen to your show.
Yes, they do.
We
have a fun relationship.
All will be explained.
That's right. So y'all listen next weekend.
Okay, so if anybody wants those tickets, they should call right now, 713-526-5738. And when are these tickets good for?
The tickets are good for, we run the last three weekends of September.
Mm-hmm.
And Friday, Saturday of next week. We have Friday, Saturday, and a Sunday matinee for the next week.
Mm-hmm.
And then the last weekend in September, the Friday and Saturday evening. And you can choose any performance that you want. Just, like I said, get name and phone number and which evening they'd like. And if they want to wait a couple of days to check their calendar and decide what day is better, I'll just give them a call to confirm in a few days.
Okay, and this is the...
It's the Country Playhouse, which is at Beltway, really close to Beltway and I-10, where the Old Town and Country Mall used to be.
Okay.
And it's called Laughing Stock.
Laughing Stock.
And I am wonderful in it.
I'm sure you are. Okay, we've put the number out, and we're waiting for calls to come in.
Okay, love you guys, and I can't wait to see you until next weekend.
Thank you so much.
Okay, thank you,
uh-huh.
baby.
Bye-bye. That number again, 713-526-5738. 713-526-5738. And let's get back to our show. Yes. There's been all kinds of changing of hair and photographs.
Putting wigs on over the headphones.
It's just bizarre. Here I am talking to this woman trying to
find... I just know...
And I'm looking through the window, and all I see is wigs flying through the air.
That is
true. You're telling me I had mine on backwards. I said, no, the headphones are on.
They keep bringing me all the drag that I have peeled off on the way into the radio station.
And believe me, there's probably feathers all over the place in there.
And Treasure Dark Side is proof positive that genetic women can be drag queens.
Absolutely.
Of course.
Hey, the way I tell people is, you know what? I have no problem with being called a drag queen, because you know what? We have the drag queens of Stonewall to thank for the women's issues as well.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Absolutely. Hello. Yes. You better believe it.
Oh, yeah.
Yes.
Yeah, you were talking about this station now being, or this show being 20 years old. Yes. I think that's fabulous. I remember being in St. Louis coming out at that very point. Mm-hmm. And it was just, it's been really, really tough road, and for a lot of people.
Just remembering what life was like back then.
Well, exactly. Wow. I mean, you know, back then it was like brink of HIV and AIDS and everything. A lot of your friends collapsing around you and not knowing why, and it was really a tough time.
And for us, the ones that are a lot younger than the ones that
at that time. Now she's gonna bring up the age thing.
Well, you know,
y'all paved the way for us to be able to.
There's gonna be one dead drag.
Okay, now y'all paved the way for us to be able to step in and continue the hard work that y'all started.
See, 19 and a half years ago, I walked into the studio. This show was 6 months old, and I volunteered here, and I was the oldest person on staff.
Still
on. And I still am!
You know, there's something to be said about that, though, too. You've been around that long. That's a good thing.
Well, honey, yeah. As long as you wear pink, you're pretty to me.
Thank you.
And as long as you're not shedding the feathers, either.
All right, I
EJ's
swear.
EJ's cleanup team is not going to be happy.
So I had drag droppings all the way in from the front door to the mic, and I apologize.
Okay, dear. Now, you were talking about the general meeting, which is tomorrow at Legacy at 2 o'clock.
Legacy at 2 p.m.
At 2:15 West Timer.
Right. Mm-hmm.
And, but if I don't want to go to a meeting, because I don't like meetings, where can I see your next show?
Our next shows actually are coming up, not this next weekend, but the following weekend, mm-hmm. Weekend of the 22nd.
We have our IPR weekend.
This is the biggie, isn't it?
The big tribute from our Imperial Prince and Princess Royale.
Mm-hmm.
And Falcon can tell you a little bit more about that. It's a 3-day event.
Oh, my God.
Yeah. It is actually our second in command. It is the Emperor and the Empress's first choice.
Yeah.
For the people that they feel in the community that are out there every weekend working for this community to step up and represent for them when they're not here.
So we're in trouble tonight because we're on Friday night.
Yeah, Friday night we're going to be at George. It's going to be at food starts at 7. The show will start at 9.
Mm-hmm.
That show is called Homecoming. It's going to be all about football and cheerleaders.
And big old mums.
Yeah, I got to be honest. I'm from Michigan. That's a tradition I've never even knew about.
It's a Texas
came down
thing.
Here.
Oh, it's
yeah.
a, it's a yeah. Southern thing.
Yeah. No, I'm relying on my Imperial Princess Royale to teach me everything about these mums, because I don't know.
Mums and ribbons
it's
and cowbells.
All about big hair.
Trust, mums
cowbells.
A word.
Sweetie, that's every day for us.
Hello.
Big hair and cowbells.
If you don't trip over the ribbon, it ain't long enough.
And then we move on to Saturday afternoon. We're going to go down to Galveston, and we're having a barbecue. That's actually the senior trip. And it's going to be a pool party. party at Robert Lafitte's bar and pool. We're taking over the pool in the back. And then on Saturday night, we're having the luau at the Undercurrent.
Wow.
That show's going to start at 9. I believe that night also we're doing the infamous IPR's Wet Buns contest.
Another one.
Another one.
I want to see both IPRs have wet buns. Both Kimberly O'Neill
that
and
won't happen.
Falcon.
That won't happen.
That won't happen.
That will not happen.
Well, but, maybe for Kimberly, hopefully Falcon.
But then on Sunday, we come back to Houston. We're going to be at the BRB Sunday night for prom. And that's going to be our formal event. That will be starting at 8 p.m.
Okay.
So, and then we got some other events coming up here, and I'll turn it back to Kimberly here.
Yeah. Kimberly?
Kimberly's not here, baby.
Oh.
I'm <visiting. laughs>
Try treasure.
And then on Friday, the 28th of this month, it is actually our show. The Viscount and Viscountesses will be hosting a show at EJ's, and it'll be approximately 8:30 p.m. for our start.
8:30-ish,
yeah.
And drag standard time.
Gotcha. And that'll be comedy cabaret.
Oh, that should
be
fun.
Yeah, it's going to be a lot of fun. There's a lot of great music out there to do.
Yes, there is.
And then later on in October, I'm going to be hosting a show down in Galveston as well at the Undercurrent called Mausoleum Madness. That was a, that's a fun show to do too. We did it a couple years ago at Mary's. And
now there's a place to do that show.
I'll tell you what. The guy who started that was an emperor I served under up in Dallas.
Mm-hmm.
And he's asked me to carry that on down here. And so I've started doing that.
Oh, good.
Yeah, and it's basically you pick music of people who have passed on or whose careers are dead.
Okay.
Okay. That show will start probably around 10 o'clock down in Galveston.
Okay.
And then in January, we're going to be turning 24. Another year older at 24.
Okay.
And our new emperor and empress will step up at that time. That will be the weekend of January the 17th to the 20th.
Okay.
And
that'll be at the Hilton on Post Oak. And that is the celebration of Chris and Cheyenne. That'll be their coronation.
That'll be their coronation.
It's called
step down.
The Four Seasons of Camelot.
Okay. We'll hear more about that in the coming months.
You sure will?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Definitely. Most
but
definitely.
I got to run you guys out of here and get the next group in. You know, we're running late, but you know, that's how we always do.
A real quick.
You want to do a little thing about.
Yeah, we got a couple other groups going on. We got the Misfits Ball going on tomorrow night.
Yes, you do.
I want to announce that real quick. That's going on at 4 p.m. I believe the doors open at 5 and it runs till about 8 p.m. to 9 p.m. It's going to be a lot of fun. It's going to have a foam party this year.
Mm-hmm.
That will be at the old rehab. I think it's called the Pink.
The Pink Frog.
The Pink Frog, Pink something.
Yeah.
I forgot. But it's the downstairs level of the Magnolia.
709
Ball.
Franklin.
Right.
Downstairs.
That's going to be a lot of fun. If you want to come out, he's got these addresses memorized. I'm amazed.
Because I announce this crap every week.
And the other thing we got going on September 15th, the Houston Area Bears are going to be at Tony's Corner Pocket at 8 p.m.
Mm-hmm.
They are going to be doing awards, entertainments, and they are going to be hanging their new colors at Tony's Corner Pocket. And if people can come out, they're going to have food. It's going to be a good time.
Great.
So come on out, guys.
Okay.
Thank you, Jimmy.
You are so very welcome.
Congratulations on 20 years.
Thank you very much. Now I've got some special music because we are running a little late here, getting the leather ties in. So, and we're doing music back from 20 years ago.
Yay.
And I thought this would be a good piece to open your segment with.
Male stripper, man to man?
I have that, but that's not what I'm playing now. This is Patrick Cowley number, and I know you're going to recognize it immediately.
Don't do the drag queen thing.
I need to get surfing.
Yes, I'll see you.
Welcome to the Leather Ties. I'm Daddy Bear Robert T. We are going to be here tonight talking with the NLA, National Leather Association. We have international representatives and we have Houston representatives. First, I would like to introduce, all the way from Kansas City, he flew in for the Misfits Ball. He's been a real tramp the whole weekend. Well, okay, he's been a very, very angelic tramp. Is that, would that be a fair statement?
I think that's a very fair statement to make at this time of him, yes.
Okay, this is Sir Robert Helms that just said that.
Howdy.
With National Leather Association Houston. I'd like to welcome Mr. Vince Andrews, the president of National Leather Association International. Yay, thank you for coming. And on the phone, we also have Slave Serafina. She heads up the Domestic Violence Project internationally. Slave Serafina, are you there?
Yes, I am.
Thank you so much for taking the time. We are calling with Serafina. She is in Kansas City, correct?
Yes.
And thank you so much for staying up this late and talking to us about the Domestic Violence Project. I want to start out by saying that NLA in general, basically deals with education, leather protocols, and brotherhood and support. One thing we're really big about, yes, we do get into a lot of BDSM play, but there's a big difference between BDSM and domestic violence, and that's what we're here to talk about tonight, understanding, knowing the difference, where to go to get help. So, Vince.
Yes.
Good evening. How are you?
I'm good, thank you.
Good. We finally got Vince to speak on air.
Well, I've never been on air, so this is kind of unusual for me.
Or just pretend the microphone isn't there and we'll just talk. Robert's used to this by now because he's... I'm not going to say it. Never mind.
Radio whore?
Yeah.
No, that would be me. Yeah, I'm the radio whore.
No, Robert, no. Go ahead. What? What? Say it. Go ahead. Bring it on.
I just say you know how to, like, put your mouth on a microphone. That's all I was going to say.
Well, you know, sometimes you feel like
that. Slave Serafina, please tell us about what you do.
I'm the project chair for the Domestic Violence Project. We coordinate everything for the project to raise education and awareness on domestic violence issues.
Wonderful. Now, I have some... let's talk about actually what domestic violence is pertaining to the leather community. A lot of the play that we do is very severe... from living outside of the leather community, what they see and the way we play can be very easily misconstrued as domestic violence. Tell me, what's the difference between a BDSM scene and domestic violence?
In a healthy BDSM relationship, the people involved in whatever the activities, however extreme they are consented to it, and they're educated about the practices, and they follow safety precautions.
Okay, so we're saying basically if you fall outside of that range, outside of the prescribed scene, the scene that you negotiated, that it could easily fall into domestic violence?
Yes.
What are some things to look for? I mean, if we're talking domestic violence, again, in the leather world that we live in and the play that we have, what are you looking for? What kind of signs would give you a clue that this has gone beyond a scene and we're getting into some domestic violence and there's some issues here? What would you look for?
One thing that we generally see a lot of is people who are new to the lifestyle are being coerced or forced into participating in activities that they're not consenting to.
Mm-hmm. Now, I have the Domestic Violence Project. If anybody wants to know about this, read about this, or learn about this, NLAI, the Domestic Violence Project website, is www.NLAIDVProject, Domestic Violence Project. So that's NLAIDVProject.us. There's a lot of information there, and you can go to the website. Anybody can go there. It's not, you don't need a membership or have to pay any money to get this information. We are here about education. Now, when you're talking about defining problems and physical, sexual, economic, psychological, domestic violence takes so many different forms. I've downloaded and I've read over and over and over again, highlighted it, and it's like part of my life, the Domestic Violence Project handbook, basically, that NLAI has written. And it's been, what, 2-3 years in the writing, correct, Vince?
I don't know how long it took, actually. Serafina is the one that actually wrote our handbook, so okay. We actually give credit to Serafina. She's actually been restructuring and reorganizing the entire Domestic Violence Project. It was an idea that came before Serafina came on board, but she is really the one who has taken it and put it in the international spotlight that it is.
Thank you for that, Serafina.
You're welcome.
Now, in this handbook, I believe it's, what, page 8? My glasses are failing.
How long did it take you to write it, Serafina?
Are you talking about the information packet?
Yeah, the DDP information packet that you can download off the website.
I think that took us about 6 months to get through.
Wow.
And get that all written out.
That's a lot of research. You have different things to look for, different questions to ask. Give us some of the things that, I mean, honestly, it doesn't matter if you're a dom or a sub, if you're a top or a bottom. Domestic violence can happen no matter who or what you are or what your partner is. Give us some of the things that you can ask, some of the things that you can kind of look for to see what's going to identify, to see if abuse is taking place or there's the possibility for you being abused. What would you look for? What are questions you would ask yourself?
If a victim may feel like they're on an emotional roller coaster, or they can get depressed, they may experience decreased sense of personal value or worth. They can feel confused, hurt, or isolated about what's going on.
Mm-hmm.
They can feel off balance, you know, like being shocked about what they're seeing or what they're being told by the abuser.
Say it. Okay, and so what kind of warning signs would you look for? I mean, are we talking about somebody who's going to push something outside of a negotiated scene? Yes. Does it happen during a scene? Is it everyday life? I mean, what warning signs would you look for? What would you look for to see if this is happening to you?
That's kind of twofold. I mean, you can see it happening if things are happening during a scene and you say stop or you use a safe word. And that's not respected, and the person doesn't stop. That could be a red flag.
Mm-hmm.
And then outside of that, a person could be threatening to out you if you don't do something, or using it against.
Now, when you say out you, what do you mean out you?
Out you is in saying they're going to tell your family or your friends about your lifestyle. They can
embarrass you, basically.
Yes.
And try to trash you in public.
Well, even in some cases, it could also be, you know, your life-threatening as far as your job and your career. There are a lot of people out there that have professional careers that are involved in our lifestyle that...
Live our lifestyle in the closet.
Yeah, they can't take that risk because it could... And in some cases, you know, these are families. These are people who have children.
Right.
You know, and, you know, they may be going through a divorce situation. So.
Well, even that, but I do also know here in Houston, there in the pansexual community, there are a lot of people who live a leather lifestyle or a BDSM lifestyle. Their children, their family have no clue.
Mm-hmm.
Because that is very well shielded from. And Serafina, you're saying that kind of outing could really destroy a family.
It can. It destroys the children if there's children involved.
And then, of course, we have the whole problem with the legal issues that come from that as well.
Yeah.
How they don't understand our lifestyle.
Custody issues and...
Well, I think the problem is it's too easy to confuse BDSM with abuse because the lifestyle we live is very outside of mainstream culture. Now, in the DVP handbook... I'm sorry,
I have to step in real quick and let everyone know. You're listening to After Hours, Queer Radio with Attitude, on listener-sponsored commercial-free Pacifica Radio for the Gulf Coast, KPFT Houston, 90.1 FM, 89.5 Galveston, and always the World Wide Web at kpft.org.
So, Queer Radio with Attitude, so we need to sling some attitude now, is that it? It's Queer Radio with Attitude.
Sling all the attitude you want, just keep the ginger ale to yourself.
No, that was this Robert, not me. I did not do that to you. I'm the one that actually made it up to you by throwing a drink on him.
I'm still waiting for my prize of winning the first wet t-shirt contest ever in the history of Ripcord.
No, that wouldn't be ever. Because
that would
be
the first one.
You don't remember the good old days back in the 80s when they were doing Crisco wrestling and all that other stuff. So.
Yeah, it would have been a little hard for me to get in there at the 80s.
Different fetish.
Okay. All different fetish, yes. Now, Serafina, in this handbook that you have created and put so much work into, there's a list of questions that I find... really, really succinct. And thank you for putting these questions in here. I want to read a few of these and get some of your comments on these. I think the biggest question, has your partner ever hit you, choked you, or otherwise physically hurt you outside of a scene? Are you afraid of your partner? Are you confused as to when a scene begins and ends? Is he or she ever violated your limits? Now, pushing your limits, violating your limits, it's a very fine line. Feeling trapped in a specific role. Are you constantly being criticized, whether it's sexual performance or... I think the thing that really hits home with me and something that I've experienced is... Does your partner use sex to make up after a violent incident? I mean, that's a biggie for me. You see that in all the made-for-TV movies. I mean, Burning Bed and all that crap. But it really is true. And when you see something like this happening to yourself, it's really hard to step outside and say, yes, I am being abused. So when you see this happening to yourself, battery is a crime. And this kind of abuse is a crime. What can somebody do
They can, well, the first thing they can do, we are aligned with the National Coalition Against Domestic Violence Hotline, which is 1-800-799-SAFE.
Mm-hmm.
And they're a national network, and you can call into them, and they'll be able to help people who find themselves in this type of situation. Or they can contact us, and we can make referrals for legal.
Okay, now for those of you who are hearing impaired and are getting this off of the website or getting a transcript of this, you can also contact 1-800-787-3224. That's the TTY toll-free number. And again, voice 1-800-799-SAFE. So if you see this happening to you, I mean, first of all, you've got to admit it. How do you actually grow the balls to admit it? I'm sorry I'm saying this to a female slave, but how do you get up the gumption to actually say, this is happening to me and I need to do something about it? How do you go about saying that?
Some people may not have the courage to do that at first, and if they need somebody to talk to, you can also call that hotline number that you just gave,
mm-hmm.
and just talk to somebody if you feel something's not right or you just want somebody to talk to.
And if there's somebody in your community that, or say, like within National Leather Association, there are chapters all over the world.
Yes.
That's why I have in LA International, and that's why Vince is sitting here. But can you go, if I saw somebody that I thought was being abused, would I have a right? Is it my place to go up to a boy or to a slave or to a sub or go up to a dom and say, I see something I'm not comfortable with. I think there's abuse here. What is going on? Do I have that right to step in and ask and try to offer help? Or should I wait for somebody to come to me?
If you have a question about the dynamics of a relationship, I would always encourage you to ask and to find out if that's what's going on. Or to
basically, all they can do is tell you is like, it's none of your business. Stay out of it.
Yes, but if the person is being victimized, it's going to make them question that. But they're the only one that's going to be to decide whether they need help or not.
Well, then I've got a question that it kind of deals with in that line of train of thought. When you see that there's a situation, it's obvious that it's an abusive relationship, and you realize that sub or dom is not willing to get out of that relationship.
Well,
don't you think it's possible that at some point? Well, yeah, but I'm thinking at some point, doesn't the community have a responsibility to basically hold an intervention of sorts? I mean, as part of the leather community, we should be. It's not so much policing our own, but we need to.
But it is policing our own. We need to take care of each other and protect each other. But you're asking what?
About the right for an intervention when it's obvious to everyone else that this is a very violent relationship and it's not appropriate.
Well, part of the problem with that is you still have people who are seeing that, and what we're seeing is people are still turning the other way, and sometimes people who are coming to the rescue of these victims are actually abusing them themselves and not providing them with legal help they may need or psychological help or getting them into places that are going to put them in a safe place.
Now, that's a good question. I wanted to ask you about that, the legalities. What can you legally do to protect yourself if you're being abused?
I really can't answer that. You would have to. We refer all of our legal stuff to National Coalition for Sexual Freedom.
Okay. Good.
But
I mean, if somebody said, okay, I'm being abused, I need to be protected, where do I go for help and what can I do to at least try to get out of this? I mean, can they go to the courts and say, hey, I need a restraining order? Do they have to get a lawyer? Do they have to pay all these fees for a lawyer and all this stuff to get a restraining order or something?
Generally, if you contact the court system to do that, there's a lot of places that will do that free of charge. They don't do anything. They send advocates that do work,
mm-hmm.
that will work with you to take care of all that, and it doesn't cost anything.
So basically, if you're being abused and you're thinking, I can't get out of this, I can't afford it, yes, you can, because there are free services out there that are there to help you.
Yeah, and in Houston, basically what you do is you go to the office of the Attorney General, and you file a formal report with the OAG's office, and they begin the research and the investigation into it.
Now, I know the laws vary from state to state, but they're all basically the same. You can get free services, you can get free representation, and you can do this without a lot of cost. I'm assuming Kansas City, you're Missouri, or Kansas City, Kansas?
Kansas City, Missouri.
Okay.
It's the same way here, and that National Domestic Violence Hotline can also set individuals up with those types of services. And if they won't, if they can't help somebody, they can contact us, the project, and we'll find somebody that can help them do that without a cost.
How much do you see with battery that involves drugs, alcohol, where that plays a big role in it, where if they were just sober, this wouldn't be happening? Or is that the alcohol, the drugs, just an excuse for the battery?
It's just an excuse.
You were going to say something?
Well, I was going to say, let's also keep in mind that something that you haven't brought up that I think the listeners need to think about is that domestic violence isn't just for women, it's also for men.
Oh, yeah, definitely.
So, I mean, whether you're gay or straight, I mean, domestic violence goes across the board. And I think that a lot of people, like when you were talking about intervention, one of the biggest problems in the lifestyle, I think, that is taking place is that, you know, you have a lot of people who they try to base our lifestyle so much on protocol that they get lost in the reality of our lifestyle. I mean, yes, we do have rules, and yes, we do have protocol that we follow, but at the same time, there is a point within our lifestyle that even we know it's time to turn down one nozzle and turn up the other.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what Serafina was, I think, meaning when she was saying that you're seeing more and more people that are turning away from it. It's not that we're ignoring it, and it's not that we don't still love and care for our own. It's just that, you know, over the years, people have become so embodied into following and adhering to protocol that, you know, they've lost touch with the idea that there are points when one must break that protocol in order to salvage or to save that individual that's out there.
Right. That's good. That's a very good point. But I think also one thing we haven't really touched on, domestic violence and abuse is not necessarily physical. It's emotional. It is psychological.
Spiritual.
Financial.
Financial. I mean, there are people, you don't have to hit somebody to hurt somebody. And words, withholding money, it's just the same thing. It's just a different form of domestic violence and a different type of abuse, but it's still abuse. And I've had a taste of that in my lifetime. So it's like I understand what it's like to be verbally assaulted by somebody that you thought you loved. I was never really physically assaulted, but I was constantly barraged with words.
But then there's also the case where you have individuals who are doing it and don't even realize that they're abusing you.
Right. And the people that don't realize you're abusing you, okay, you have finally figured out you're being abused. They don't get it. They don't think they're doing anything wrong. You leave. All they do is get more and more mad. And when they're the ones that need help, so, I mean, yes, we're talking about the person who's being abused, but what about the abuser? They need just as much help. Where can somebody like that go? Well, if they actually admit they have a problem, but I would think that if there were some sort of intervention or their partner left them, they would have some kind of clue. I did something. What did I do?
No, I don't think they do. Do you, Serafina?
I'm sorry, I didn't hear the question.
He's basically saying that, you know, what about the abuser, the person who's actually abusing individuals? Do they ever recognize that they're an abuser when their partner or sub leaves them?
Sometimes they do, but in most cases we see that they're not.
And do we ever see behavior change, or is it just a fake kind of, okay, I'm going to change for now until I get you back, or until I get somebody else and I'm going to go right back to the same? I mean, it's a cycle of violence that we need to break, and how do we do that? Well, I'm not asking you for the answer, I'm just saying.
But that, there again, that comes into the intervention that you're talking about. I mean, in the past, I mean, in leather communities, you would have individuals who would intervene. And when you go back to the protocol aspect, I mean, you have, you know, and I know, and I don't know, if I remember right, didn't you guys say that in Houston that you guys have pretty much a strong presence of dominants that have been in the lifestyle long enough that they pretty much, they intervene with other dominants,
yes.
You know, to give them ideas and to give them direction. Well, not every community possesses that ability. So, but that would be the case with somebody who's an abuser, doesn't realize they're an abuser. So it wouldn't be submissives that would be running after that dominant. It would actually be the other dominants that help mentor that dominant that needs
right.
to adhere to that.
And I do know that in the past, I believe in the 80s in New Orleans, there was a group called the Iron Circle that did that.
Right.
And just recently on the cover of the Leather Journal, the most recent Leather Journal that came out, Southern California has just gotten together and they've started basically working towards that, creating some kind of system where they can police their own because of the number of scenes that have gone wrong.
Mm. Yeah, and you're slowly starting to see, I believe, people wanting to, in the gay community, are wanting to start to put those safety things in play. But, you know, in the larger BDSM community that it encompasses, you know, gay, het, lesbian, transgendered, I mean, we're a miles away from anything like that, I believe.
Hmm. But how do we get it there? How do we even get it started? I mean, miles away, but we're at least in the car, right?
Well, with absolutely. But with organizations like Domestic Violence Project, I mean, that is the nail. And, I mean, we just have to drive it with the hammer. I mean, we are the hammer, and we have to continue to drive the nails. National Coalition for Sexual Freedom, DVP, and there's other organizations, Woodhull. I mean, there's lots of organizations out there that are really starting to target into this more. But I think it's just going to take time, and it's going to take dedication, and it's going to take a community effort. I mean, there isn't a single organization in the world that's capable of functioning without a community effort. If people don't start recognizing each other's problems and reaching out towards each other, it's not going to go anywhere. It's going to flop.
Right, but I also think in this wonderfully digital world we live in, that's becoming harder and harder.
Well, I think actually the wonderfully digital world aspect is the plus side of it.
Well, it does help, but it also hinders. I mean, it's kind of a 50-50. It's a double-edged sword. Because with
the digital DOMs.
Well, digital DOMs with the advent of all of that other stuff, it's so easy for a predator to find the prey. But it's also just as easy to go out there and find all the information you need to protect yourself. But
it is a double-edged sword.
But it's also very hard to find it.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what I love about NLA International, is because you go to NLA International website, all over the place, there's links to the Domestic Violence Project, links to all the different other types of educational programs and things that NLA does.
Well, once they become a member of the International, then we've been working on developing an online archive of documentations, workshop handout sheets, stuff like that. And we have Hardy Haberman, who is an author and a wisdom keeper on the board. Yes, from the Dallas chapter. And we also have Jan Allen, Lady Caro, and Jim Richards. And, you know, all these individuals are basically developing a archive that will give people an opportunity to learn and get more definitive information instead of having to search through the net and find all the crazy different things that people have written and not finding something that's solidified and
finding something,
you know,
that's actually accurate.
Yes.
Accurate and something you can use.
But, and just like the DVP project, that right there is just like our educational section, whereas the Domestic Violence Project is giving them and providing them accurate, you know, up-to-date, current information that will help them.
Well, speaking of internet and everything, we're talking about cyber predators as well, cyber stalking, things like that. That falls into domestic violence, do you think? Or because, I mean, technically, you're on a computer, they're on a computer, if you meet in person or not, but they can still use the computer against you. They can use your cell phone against you.
They could, but it's... I don't think... Usually what they do is they try to lure you... either emotionally or physically, to interact with them physically. They usually don't, I mean, if they're a predator, they're not going to just keep it at a phone distance. They're going to want to get in contact, physical contact with you, because that's when they're going to have the absolute control over you. I mean, it's going to start out with an online thing, and they're going to tell you everything you want to hear.
All roses and chocolate.
Sure,
yeah.
And, you know, I mean, I don't know about you, but I'm you know, 6 foot tall, I got big bulging muscles, and I'm blonde-headed, you know, and that's not what I look like in real life. I'm bald and skinny, and, you know, hello.
Hey, you know, skinny, you actually got a damn good body, but...
Well, mm-hmm. I think...
You're only bald because you shave your head.
No, actually, I'm naturally bald, but it's got a little stubble.
Okay, you got
but,
a little
you know,
stubble,
in those situations, I mean, you know... In those situations, I mean, people are gonna entice you.
Yeah,
I mean,
we're not talking AOL inches, we're talking reality. Yeah. Right.
It's not gonna be enough to have the person just on the other side of the monitor. If they're really gonna be a predator, they're gonna find a way to get physically with you. And once they do, then they will develop the lock on you.
And once you finally figure it out and break free of that lock, what do you do to stop them from stalking you online or stalking you through your cell phone? Because cell phones nowadays have GP. They have those locators, I know, where all they got to do is call up your damn phone and find out where the hell you are on the planet. I mean,
Serafina, would you like to give them some advice on that?
I'm sorry, I didn't...
Oh, it's late. We know. We're sleeping, too. Don't worry about it, darling.
Basically, what he's saying is that what if you have that contact? Once you leave the predator, once you get away from the person that's abusing you, and you've got they've got that personal information about you, your cell phone, your name, where you work, stuff like that, he's asking, what are some things that you can do to prevent them from having connection to you that's going to cause you to go into that position?
Yeah, cyberstalking, basically. I mean, especially now, you see it all over TV and all the advertisements, especially those big round people floating in the pool. Where you at? I know where you at. They've got all these global positioning locators on cell phones now. You got somebody that you're trying to get away from. All they got to do is call your phone number and find out exactly where you are. How are you going to get around something like that? How are you going to get away from that?
You're probably going to have to change your phone number, and there's legal steps that you could take against people who are doing those types of things. It's a little more difficult to prove legally when you can turn them into their IST, you know, like AOL or something like that.
The internet Nazis, yeah. On the planet, yeah. Sorry, that's my personal opinion. It does not reflect on the radio station.
But it's just like any other stalker. I mean, you're going to have to take some steps on your own. I mean, the laws aren't in place to where you're going to be able to... I mean, the cyber world is growing, and technology is growing. And as it grows, you know, the laws only are able to keep up so much. So you have to kind of create your own.
The cyber world is growing too fast for reality to keep up with it. What I do like in the domestic violence handbook here, there is a section about, specifically geared towards the internet, cyberstalking, cell phone stalking, and things you can do to prevent people from getting to you and finding out where you are and harassing you on the phone and everything like that. One thing I found very interesting, I didn't even know, if you want to keep people from finding out caller ID, say you change your cell phone number and somehow they get your phone number, or you accidentally call them, or you call them to set up something, you're not smart enough to call from a payphone or something like that, you can dial *67, and that will block any kind of phone ID. So if when you dial *67 and then dial their phone number, it's blocking caller ID, so they can't find out your phone number.
Well, it comes up private.
Yeah, it just comes up private. It says unlisted number or blocked call or whatever, and it won't show your phone number on their cell phone. So that's a smart thing. But there's a lot of really neat tips like this in the Domestic Violence Project to help protect yourself once you leave an abuser.
And there's also restraining orders. I mean, most people will get restraining orders if it's a physical thing to where you're trying to get rid of them.
But
we all know how restraining orders work. Yes, I know.
But I was going to say, yeah, I had a stalker for 3 years before I finally got rid of that one. But and now he just wears white tennis shoes of peace. You're welcome, Kirby. I said it on the air.
Well, now I'm curious. Serafina, it's in the DV handbook. We have all of this great information, especially that came from Jan Hall.
Yeah, Jan Hall was really good at compiling a lot of this information.
Do we have anything else from her, or is she still involved or anything?
She's not involved with it anymore.
she kind of turned it over to you, and you just ran with it.
Well, actually, there was one other chair that was before me, and then I took over from there.
Vince is doing something nasty here on the air. I'm sorry.
Well, that's pretty typical of him.
Isn't it, though? Isn't it?
Yeah, I'll be calling Master Theseus and not getting anywhere with that, I'm sure, but yes. I'll still be calling.
And Serafina, please thank your sir for allowing you to stay up this late so we can talk to you. And yeah, Vince is actually still at least wearing his chaps in the studio.
I like Houston weather. You know, it's nice and sweaty. I can be nice and slimy and slick, and I like it.
Yeah, I'm not saying a word.
I like it. I'm
buying you a case of J-Lube. That's what I'm doing.
No. I got J-Lube. I'm in Houston. Are you kidding? It's all over me.
Yeah, yeah. Okay, no salt for you.
Oh. It's not the heat. It's the humidity.
Yeah, that's it.
I like that.
Yeah, that's it. The humidity. Why don't we take a little break? Serafina, I know it's late. Thank you for staying up so late and talking with us on the phone. Is there anything that you want to let people know about this and where they can go for help or how to contact NLA to get this information?
They can go to our website, and we have a lot of information there. We have pamphlets, events that we'll be at, places we're distributing postcards.
Okay.
People that we're working with, and if you don't see something or something's not there, all you have to do is contact us and we'll get it for you, because some of the people we work with are anonymous. We can provide therapists and
that's
shelters
incredible.
And
again,
legal help.
This is across the planet. If they don't know locally, they can find out for you and get back with you. Say, again, Serafina is in Kansas City. Somebody from Houston or somebody from Dallas contacts NLAI and says, I need help. If she doesn't know or somebody there doesn't know, they can help you get to the right people. Also, one thing I do want to say, October is National Domestic Violence Project Month for NLA.
Yes.
It's October, correct?
Yeah, but isn't that the National Domestic Violence Month period? Isn't that...
It's the National Domestic Violence Month.
And NLA is going to be doing... A lot of awareness with that. I know NLA Houston here is planning on doing a lot of things. I'm doing a presentation for Babel and a few other groups, but I just want to make everybody aware. Serafina, anything else?
We have a newsletter coming out that month, and representatives doing workshops all over, and postcards going to...
And they can get all that information off the website?
They can actually sign up on the website if they would like to get the newsletter.
Sign up on the website for the newsletters? Excellent. Excellent. And that's NLAI.com, or you can go to the NLAIDVproject.us. You can sign up for the domestic violence newsletter and get whatever information you need off there. Why don't we take a musical break and let Serafina go to sleep with her sir? Thank you again, Serafina, for staying so late and talking with us.
Thank you for having me.
And we'll be right back after this.
Just under every rock.
looked under every rock. I haven't seen or heard enough until I've looked under every rock.
Your time's up. The game is over. There ain't no second chances on me. Good evening. Welcome back to Leather Ties. I'm sorry. During the musical interlude, we had a little bit of interesting fun here. We have a couple of Leathermen that are falling asleep, and they look really hot together, so we were taking pictures. Daddy Bear Robert here. The first song we listened to, that was Juliet. The song was called Ride the Pain into the Pleasure.
Woo-hoo.
I played that just for you because it's a good song, Vince.
Yay!
Yeah, you'll love that song. Actually, the sad thing is, during the Boy Montrose contest, we had a drag get up on stage and perform that number. And I was like, God, I love this song. I love this song. You ruined it. No, she did an admirable job. She worked it. She played dominatrix all the way with that song, so she was good.
Yeah, and then there was the accident with her stepping down off the stage and in those huge boots, those elevated
Whoopsie.
Boots, and slipped on the stairs going down.
Yeah.
It was not pretty.
Yeah. And then the second song, that was Your Time Is Up, C.B. Milton. He's openly gay. He's from Belgium. His lover's from the U.K., and they're really hot dudes. And I just like C.B. Milton because he's got that really cool, raspy kind of voice and does really kick-ass music. We're here talking tonight about the NLA International. Oh, hold on. Wait. Give me that back. No, I want to describe the picture. We got a... stole the camera from our sleeping Leathermen, and we're looking at the pictures, and damn.
I want to see.
Okay, that's really hot. We got one sitting on the other. Ooh, damn, nice. Hello. Okay. I don't know how to describe this without saying the words we're not allowed to say on the radio, but...
I've completely lost all train of thought.
Yeah, where were we? Oh, yeah, domestic violence. I'm sorry.
That was hot.
That's okay, you're evil for that, but you woke me up.
What are you doing to my daddy? What are you doing to my daddy?
I'm making him feel bad. I'm taking his temperature rectally. We're here with Vince Andrews. He's the president of National Leather Association International. You need to stop showing me those pictures. You wouldn't believe some of the stuff that's gone on in this room. We can all have a real nice circle jerk here. It's not a problem.
So are you basically saying a black light would reveal a lot?
Only the dandruff.
And the feathers.
President of NLA International, as I was saying, is here from Kansas City. He's visiting for the weekend. Came in for the Misfits Ball. Thought he was going to have a real fun time. And we shanghaied his ass and brought him into the studio.
Lucky me.
Lucky you. He was going to get laid tonight. He may still get laid later. We don't know. We'll have to look at that camera tomorrow to see what kind of pictures are on it.
Well, if we keep them up too late, I may have to actually do that.
Oh.
Mount chicka bam bam. No, we'll be fine. Working at the
car.
You know, when we were talking about the domestic violence project, I don't think that Serafina meant to forget, but I think she forgot to mention that we've been over the last year, we've been compiling a list of shelters that people can go to, whether they're male or female. One of the biggest problems with shelters is that it's really hard to find male shelters.
Yeah, and, because people don't normally attribute somebody being abused as being a male.
So generally, it's they're starting to pop up. A lot of times, what we do is we find safe homes, and there is a different like safe place. There's different organizations like that, but we've been generally trying to find safe homes and safe spots that we know that we can put them within people that, you know, are close to the organization that we are familiar with enough that we know it's a safe environment for them. But that seems to be the biggest struggle. But there are males.
I have noticed that there are tons and tons and tons of shelters
for women's
and
battery
safe houses
and stuff
for
like that.
Women's battery. But what about the men?
A lot of times
and
the men
people
can't.
Laugh, but you know what? Men still get abused too.
Men get laughed at sometimes by police.
I mean,
and it's really distressful. And you know, another thing, you know, Domestic Violence Project, what we would like to do and what we're working towards is eventually doing very much like they do in Canada. We actually have a chapter in Canada that loves to pick
castrates
on me
them.
Because they don't castrate them. I wish they
they did, but actually, they're lucky enough in Canada that the laws there are in place to where if a person is battered and they're male or female, doesn't matter, they actually, the police department actually works side by side with BDSM organizations, and they actually educate their police departments on BDSM and different types of abuse versus fetish and kink. And that's one of the things that the Domestic Violence Project has been trying to put forth, is we would like to get into the direction and the position eventually, and we are working hard on that, to being able to actually start working with police departments and educating police officers so that when they come out to a scene, they, you know, they witness these things, they don't go, oh my God, and freak out. They actually will be restrained and educated enough to be able to understand what's truly going on and what's not going on. So,
Robert, you're over here shaking your head, and I'm...
No. Actually, I was just, I was thinking about the same thing. That's, and some of the places I know in Houston, there is one that I know here in Houston that is strictly for men, and that's only one.
Right.
In a city of 5 million, and we've only got one shelter that I'm aware of.
Fourth largest city in the country, and we have one shelter for men.
Now, I do know in Austin, there is Safe Place in Austin, which caters to both male and female, but in Houston, there's only one that I'm aware of.
Well, organizations like Safe Place, I mean, they do work with major corporations. Like, I know Quick Trip Corporation works with them, as well as many, many others. But the thing is that they also tend to target children more than they tend to target adults. And a lot of adults don't realize that they have the opportunities to use those services, too. They think that they're just for children, and they're not. The big thing was that they started educating children, because the idea was that eventually those children will be adults. But what they kept forgetting to do was to also acknowledge that adults can use those services.
Well, one other thing that I think, I don't know if it's true or not, I would love to hope it is, but there are so many battered women shelters and things like this. If you're a battered male, or you're in a situation with domestic violence, whether it's physical, emotional, mental, whatever, why can't you contact a woman's shelter and say, I need help, where can I go?
The problem is that you get a lot of women that are actually been battered or abused.
But
and
if you're a man.
But you're a male. And typically what happens is, I mean, and yes, lesbians do have domestic violence problems too, but typically, on the whole, they're heterosexual women. And the thing is that they don't put men in the same environment with them, because there's a lot of emotional distress there. And, you know, I don't know if you've been around.
I'm not saying to make them co-ed.
Yeah,
I'm
okay.
saying if you're a battered male, you know, the gay community is obviously male partners, not a male-female partnership, but why couldn't a male call a women's shelter and say, I'm being abused, where can I go? And the women's shelter can say, hey, go here.
If they know, if there is one, in some cities there are none. There are none. Zip, zilch.
Yeah, I mean, we're lucky in this city to have one.
Yeah, you are. You very much are.
And if there are more, let us know. We will get that information on the NLAI website so people will know.
And that is the thing. We've been really working very hard on trying to compile a listing of different cities and different contacts. And, you know, some of these cases, you know, like for instance, the women's shelters, and the hardest part about this is because we're a BDSM organization, they automatically consider us to be abuse. They don't separate even us from actual domestic violence and abuse. And it's because of the type of kink and fetish play that we get into. And that's something that Serafina has been diligently working on, is actually contacting these shelters. And, you know, I'll be honest, when I first became president a year ago, some of these organizations were ignoring her. And it's taken her for about 3 to 4 months to actually finally crack the ice to get them to, you know, look at it in a different perspective and actually start talking to her. And, you know, one of the ways that we've done that is... We've actually, we've been focusing more on how we write our documentation up, as to like our presentation letters and stuff. We've been focusing on that. And we try to use more of the verbiage that's commonly used within the vanilla, non-leather oriented, BDSM oriented communities, so that we can connect with them on an educated level so that they understand where we're going.
Okay.
You're being fingered.
Well, it's going to take more than one. You better get a can of Crisco. But
okay, I've seen the videos.
That's a double fist. You did not say that out loud. And you loved every minute of it, didn't you?
I'm sorry. Yeah, I should do the whole body.
Because I am damn good at what I do. Okay.
Coob.
No, what did you call me last month? Hasselhoff? Bite me. You called me Hasselhoff,
bastard. I have a caller who needs some information, and I'm not sure who we're going
to hear. Oh, I'm not listening to you. I took my headphones off. I don't want to hear you. What?
Okay. I have a...
Headphones back on.
Listener
talk.
On the air. Listener on the phone. Who want to get some more information about that men's shelter.
Okay.
Do you have someone has some contact information if they could step in here, please?
Probably what we'll need to do is get on the actual website. Can you pull it up on the computer? It should be listed on the NLAI website.
Okay. All right. I'll get that for them.
If not, the best thing to do, again, if you feel you're in a situation that you need help with domestic violence, you feel you're being abused, call the hotline, 1-800-799-SAFE. They have a national and international listing of help, shelters, lawyers. They're across the board with ways they can help you, different social programs, government programs, city programs that can help you. 1-800-799-SAFE. And if you give us just a minute, they're looking it up on the website to see if we can get that information for you.
You know, the other thing is that we actually have therapists and counselors, psychologists and stuff like that that work for us and on the DVP project that are licensed and certified. So, you know, if you don't call the numbers, if you're not comfortable with calling the numbers, or if you just want to maybe possibly reach out to the organization and try to maybe speak to one of our counselors or our therapists or psychologists, then please feel free to go straight directly to our website and get in contact with us directly, and we'll put you in contact with that individual. I mean, you may just want somebody maybe possibly to present something at maybe one of your own groups or something like that, and we'd be happy to do that.
Are you able to pull it up on the website?
I wasn't sure exactly what the email address. We got the information for him, though.
Okay.
Okay, good.
If you can get that information to him, if you haven't already.
Yeah, no, Robert.
Okay. Thank you, Robert Helms.
Oh, you're welcome.
And so, again, please, if you have issues, if you have problems, call the National Domestic Hotline, Domestic Violence Hotline, 800-799-SAFE. Hearing impaired, for those who are reading this on transcript, it is 1-800-787-3224, and that's the TTY toll-free number. Go to NLAI, it's NLA-I.com. Or you can go to NLAIDVproject.us. And we've got all these organizations, all the help that you will need there to get you started on getting your freedom and getting your life back. Robert is signing for us. He's interpreting for us. Unfortunately.
Nobody can see that.
No.
Oh, very no, we've, good, we've, Vince. You got the job.
I'm waking up.
We did broadcast a couple of months ago for the hearing impaired, and Robert signed the entire show for us here in the studio.
Fantastic.
Yeah.
Didn't get any comments on that show from our deaf listeners, though. I'm a little surprised.
Well, I think it's all the cuss words you were signing that we couldn't say on the air, but I think that was the problem. So, okay.
Stop it, Chris. Advertising or asking?
Little column A, a little column B.
Which means not advertising, not asking, just begging.
I got some ginger ale with your name on it.
It's not how I wanted to leave the ripcord wet and sticky.
Yeah. Oh, well, then you should have brought more pens for pinning.
I was a good Boy Scout and prepared, and unfortunately I was a bad Boy Scout. And
hey, you're lucky it was only half of that liter that hit you. It was a 2-liter bottle.
Girl Scout!
Yeah. And our little
brownies. Oh, sorry.
Yeah, over here was mixing something and lost control of the bottle while he was spinning it, and it went all over Chris.
And then spilled a drink all over himself.
No, he didn't do that. I spilled the drink on him. Well, actually, it was his own fault because he got in my way. But you didn't even get any on your pants. It just kind of spilled kind of near you. I was really trying to get you, but it didn't happen.
Yeah, I can
You move too fast. You move fast for a big guy.
John, I appreciate that.
Yeah, well, baby, I'm as big as you, so shut the hell up. Don't give me that bitch.
Hey, you try to grow up in a military family. Every time that your father raises a hand, you run. You learn to move really fast.
Okay, is that considered domestic violence?
In some circles, yes.
Yeah, that is. let's take a break from the domestic violence. Vince is here, all the way here from Kansas City. And like I said, we shanghaied him. This was supposed to be just a fun holiday weekend.
This is non-consensual.
This is not, yeah. It's non-consensual, but it doesn't verge on violence yet.
It's getting there. If he keeps talking, it will be.
Well, I'm trying to say thank you for taking time out
absolutely.
Of the damn little vacation that you tried to schedule that we shanghaied you for this, and you were so gracious enough to come to the studio. But now I'm not going to say that.
Well, I appreciate that. Thank you very much for inviting me.
Very, very much for coming in and talking to us about this, because it is something that the leather community is really strong about, and people really do need to be educated on the difference between BDSM play and domestic violence. And again, like we've been saying, the vanilla world, the your basic world of breeders, they don't understand the difference. Even within the gay community, there are so many twinks and circuit boys that they see it in a porno movie and it looks real hot, but when you see it in real life, oh my God, you're hurting him. You killed Kenny. This is an example I can give you. Spankfest last year, Boy Joe was getting flogged, and Boy Joe had a really good time, and he was being restrained. He was, you know, restrained up with cuffs between two trees at the time. Well, one of the cuffs came loose, and Boy Joe went swinging around, slammed into a tree, and got knocked out.
He didn't exactly get knocked out. He went down.
He went down, and he was just, like, really dazed, and was like,
Endorphin rush from the flogging.
And this one kid, he had, he'll never come back to the ripcord again. He was out there, and he goes, oh my God, you killed him! goes running into the bar, gets the bar manager, gets...
No, not that one. No, this one went running into the bar, and one of the guys, I believe one of the misfits who was standing behind him at the time watching him, said, oh, I better go take care of this. He went walking into the bar to find him. He said he got right up to the front of the bar and saw the guy running around the corner and running out the door.
Yeah,
well,
so.
It's too bad that, you know, it's times like those that you wish you had good color cameras with sound effects on them so that you could catch it and play it on, like, America's Home Video or something. So that would be the $1 million winning video, I'm telling you.
Well, we actually kind of, no, the funniest whole part of that wasn't even the little kid freaking out, running, oh my God, you killed him, and running out the door. It was like, we finally been down to check on Boy Joe, and it's, Joe, are you okay? Are you all right? You know, you hit that tree really hard. Thank you, sir. Can I have another?
Bless his heart.
You know? It was like, all right, Joe. Good boy. But
just remember, we don't like to play with alcohol, so this wasn't a situation where he was drinking or anything like
Boy
that.
Boy Joe does not drink.
Accidents do happen. Accidents do happen, but that's one of the reasons why we do so much education, is to ensure that when accidents do take place, that we have the ability to care for our bottom or submissives.
Yeah, and you shouldn't be playing if you're impaired in any way. Anyway, but no, Boy Joe does not drink. The person who was flogging him was not impaired in any way either.
Right. We just want to make
sure
we're clear on that.
Afterwards, the Dom had a beer to calm down because he really thought he heard him. He was like, no, sir, I just hit the tree. It felt good. Fine. Thank you. But
for about another 2 weeks after that, Joe was running around going, well, the cuts from the tree have almost healed.
Yeah, so his nickname is basically Boy Kenny. We call him Kenny because every time we walk into the ripcord, someone goes, you killed Kenny. And he just starts cracking up. Shut up. I'm not Kenny. Next time you see Boy Joe, just call him Kenny, and he will just start cracking up, I swear. But, again, that wasn't even violence. That was just an accident, but it could be construed as violence. So it's educating people on the difference. Hi, Jimmy.
That just reminded me of a Graham Norton show I saw.
Oh, my God. The Bubbly Brits Chat Fest. Here we go.
Because he said they were talking about uncut men.
And there's nothing wrong with that.
And he said,
poor skin is fun to play with.
He said, you know, I had sex this week. And
well, he's British. Of course they're all uncut. But go ahead.
He said, I
they are.
I looked at it.
Okay, well, I would say 80% of them are.
He said, mm-hmm.
All the ones I've played with were.
He said, I looked like it, and it looked like Kenny.
Oh, well, I'll tell you what, then that's some really good overhang, I tell you.
Oh.
And you know, I think I remember that. Wasn't that the episode with Joan Collins on it?
Is your name Kenny and you're on cat?
Unfortunately.
Oh, no, this one. He just said...
Oh.
Oh, you're just uncut?
He is uncut.
He's uncut. How do you know?
Jimmy just knows these things.
I'm the daddy here.
Okay.
Not going to say a word, but except prove it.
Well, if he wants to, he can.
So, Vince, anything to say? Any information to impart? Any fabulous, incredible wisdom or... Because I know you're tired and your eyes are so bloodshot, and I know you just want to go home.
You can never have too many bangles and bubbles.
You just want to play for a couple hours and go to sleep. So,
well, I don't know about that. I mean,
okay, play for 4 hours and then go to sleep.
You have more faith in me than I do.
I didn't say you had to be awake at the time.
And that would be the only consensual way that would take place. You know, with the Domestic Violence Project, you know, you mentioned Jan Allen, actually, Robert, earlier, and mm-hmm. Jan is actually, she's been with us since the very beginnings of NLA's international movement. She wasn't there for the beginnings of the chapter, but she jumped on board in the very late 80s, very early 90s at the international level when we expanded. And Jan, this was Jan's dream. It was her project, and it was a very big thing then because there was nothing like it. And over the years, we have slowly developed it and grown it. And, you know, now that we have it on the international level, it has made a great impact, and it's helped a lot of people.
Do you find that it's really helping, that the information is getting out there and it's being used and it's being received well?
Well, like you said earlier, with the technological age that we're in, I mean, people are very savvy on the internet. You know, those of us who are older, not me, you, but, you know, may have a little struggling times with it
Chris,
at times.
Chris, cut off his microphone.
But the rest of us pretty much grew up with the internet. I mean, computers and everything are our second nature. I mean, we'll grab the computer keyboard before we'll grab a book or a phone book. So, you know, with that gateway open, you're finding a lot of people that are actually capable of getting a hold of this information a lot faster than what they would in the past. What are you reading?
Oh, Miss Christie, we love you. I'm sorry, Robert.
I love Miss Christie's boy.
Robert just got a text. Yes, yes, he's a beautiful
boy. Isn't he
boy.
Beautiful? Did I tell you about all the tickets he sold me?
He is so well behaved. But Miss Christie just sent a text to us. Thank you very much.
The lovely Miss Christie.
Who's
probably on an endorphin high right now herself.
Yeah. Good for you.
If you were here, we'd lick your boots from the tip to the top.
Okay, this wee thing needs to be rethunk.
Okay, I will.
Okay.
Vince will.
She probably would rather I did it anyway.
And most definitely.
We'll have a couple of other Leathermen hiding over here taking pictures. And
I did do it for you, remember?
I said you could take the picture. Well, you'll be taking the pictures. You'll be doing... What will you be doing, Greg?
Directing.
Pardon? I'm sorry. We have some other people that have been sitting here listening and trying to stay awake, but Gray and Frank are here, and they're also members of NLA. And
One thing I'd like to add is through NLA's DVP that there is a listing for if someone needs any kind of assistance that's non-emergency related. For instance, if you need therapy or anything, there is someone here in Houston who has joined the reference or the referral listing on the DVP. So you can go to the DVP website and get that information off the site and find that person's number mm-hmm. if you need any kind of therapy or assistance.
And see, that person's local, so to you listeners, I mean, that's something that you can definitely take advantage of.
Yes, and NLAH is working with NLAI to get more information in Houston onto the international website. It's just actually, the hardest part is finding people who understand BDSM and are willing to work with us.
And that takes patience on our side. I mean, we have to be the ones that have to put the foot forward. You know, we have to reach out our hand. You can't sit back and expect
them to come running to you. We have to show them that we are not abusive and that what we're doing is consensual and it is enjoyable.
And getting them to understand the difference between consensual play and domestic violence and abuse.
Right.
And so hopefully we'll have more and more information for the Houston community, Harris County community, Galveston area. Until then, we've got a plethora of information on the website, NLA-I.
Yes.
.com.
There's actually a banner on that website.
I'm chewing on
There's a banner on that website. When you go to the International's website, you can just click on the banner. It'll take you straight to the DVP website.
Yeah, it will.
The actual International website, we do have information about our organization and the history and stuff like that for you that you can view as an outside person. But the interiors of the website on the international level are actually only private to members of the organization. But like we did say, you can sign up for newsletters and stuff like that through the DVP's website, and you can get the hyperlink from our website.
And download a lot of really good and really useful information.
Yeah, the pamphlets, they've been putting a lot of efforts into those pamphlets. They actually just redid them. They wanted to upgrade some of the verbiage and vocabulary, because over the last 5 years, the government has actually gone in and different organizations have gone in, and they've all been changing verbiage and trying to define what this word means versus that word, when to use this word and that word, and, you know, legal technicalities of things. Yes. So they've had to upgrade those, and we've actually just finished doing that. So we've got the new ones, brand new ones on the website.
Excellent. That's what I downloaded here, and it's just, I loved reading it. There was stuff in there and questions in there to ask myself that I didn't even think to.
Well, and you know, there are a lot of people, even within our lifestyle, that have been a victim of domestic violence of one type or another. Like Robert mentioned, you have physical, you have emotional. I mean, there's verbal. There's so many different types, and even I myself. I try not to say I'm a victim, because I don't consider myself a victim. But
you're a survivor.
Well, and I don't even look at it like that, because I, you know, what I went through was something that it was just, to me, it was what I thought I was misunderstanding. But in all cases, it was actually a form of domestic violence. And in that, my case, the gentleman did not know. He did not know he was producing that to me. So, you know, and that's what I was saying. You know, sometimes you can't always get angry at the individual, because they may not know what they're doing, and you have to help them as well as help yourself. So, I mean, it's kind of a sad world that we live in, that we don't have the education out there and the resources out there to help all of us in every way.
No, but we're trying. We're getting there.
We are getting there.
Well, thank you very much, Vince, for flying in for Kansas City and allowing us to boy nap you.
Well, thank you very much for inviting me, and I very much appreciate Houston. You guys have a great community.
Thank you. And Robert Helms, our president of NLA Houston chapter, thank you for being here.
Yeah, I supersede you.
Yeah. Only in title.
Okay.
I'm not even going to go there with you two, because I'm not even going to mention Dallas.
Okay, can that be edited off the podcast?
No, it can't. If you want to edit off the podcast, yeah, you better pray to KPFT to do that. Graham Frank, thank you so much for staying out late. Graham Frank are basically the ride for Vince.
Hosts.
Same difference.
You're right. Same difference. Ride host. You got that, Miss Christie. Be sure to ask Ray and Frank about that later. Ride host. Same thing? We don't know. We'll debate that next month. Why don't we get to a song?
I have to let everyone know that, first of all, you're listening to After Hours, Queer Radio with Attitude, listener sponsored, commercial free Pacifica Radio for the Gulf Coast, KPFT Houston, 90.1 FM, 89.5 Galveston, and always the World Wide Web at kpft.org, where you can always get an archive of this show for the next 30 days. Or go to gcan.org, where you can find it indefinitely. Music?
Yes,
please.
With my empathy to freedom.
I pinch myself to realize he's gone. My friend Dean was a pisser from the start, with a heart as big as any you could pick. He could cut through any bullshit
met with an impudent remark, and he'd cut the limes and lemons just as quick. Such a fine young man, such a good young man, and the kind you'd pin your fondest hopes upon. Such a fine young man moved my piano, found my mic. I pinch myself to realize he's gone. My friend Rob liked to talk you half to death, made you feel that he was interested in you. Intelligent and generous, he'd scarcely stop for breath. Maybe 700 others felt it too. Such a fine young man, such a good young man, and the kind you'd pin your fondest hopes upon. Such a fine young man found me work one Thursday night. I pinch myself to realize he's gone. And so, you see, I've known some fellows in my day, and I've had to watch them go by ones and twos. And I won't defer to any other woman, straight or gay, who tries to teach me how to love and lose. Such fine young men, such good young men, so strong, so mild, so sure. I'm not a praying woman, yet I know that if I were, I'd pray that they would finally find a cure.
Lynn Lavner, from the late 80s, that's one of the songs we played on this show 20 years ago. It was one of the first AIDS songs that I ever heard, and I got to see her do it live one time, and I fell apart. And it just brings tears to my eyes even today. It's just a beautiful song. Lynn is on the production end of music these days, and semi-retired, living in Florida. But she was one of the women who toured around the country with her music. She put out 3 albums, and she put out a lot of... all of her music was openly gay. Most of it, of course, women-oriented. But she did a couple of songs like that for men.
And that was actual vinyl.
That was actual vinyl, because I don't think she ever put that particular album on CD. Whew. Okay. You are listening to the 20th anniversary show for After Hours. I'm Jimmy Carper, co-executive producer. Chris Harrison, my other half, has been faithfully behind the scenes here doing all the engineering all night long while I've been running around taking phone calls and talking to folks and doing other things. But now we're going to have maybe a shortened by segment.
I gotta turn on the mic stuff.
Yes. Who do we have in the studio this evening?
This is Robin and Lynn.
Ah.
And this is Bigender.
Bigender. So, what are you going to talk about tonight?
Well, we're gonna talk about the different ways to be bisexual in relationships.
Okay.
Like the me and Lynn has totally different ways of how we have our bisexual relationships.
Really?
Like Lynn, you would like to explain?
Well, it's like with my relationships, I am married. I do have a husband. I did have a wife for 6 years, and she chose to as in any relationship, leave. In the way I see my bisexuality is that I'm more into the serious side, in that I have my male, but I also have my female, and I'm very dedicated to each one of those, and that's something a lot of people don't understand, that you can be dedicated to two people, and it can be very serious, that you can have a life partner of both genders.
Well, my suspect is, I was in some serious relationships with women, and I've been in a serious relationship with men. Even though I came out bisexual earlier, I mean not earlier, but at the time, I still had like a one-on-one relationship with one or the other, until I started running into hanging out with Binad USA, and you start running into other bisexuals that David. What I met into one of the Binad USA meetings or gatherings, and come to find out that he is bisexual, and me, and I'm an open bisexual, which meaning I can go out and be with other partners and stuff, but then me and David is the one-on-one serious, have a serious relationship, but then we can still go out, and he can be with men and, you know, do whatever, and I can do the same thing with women. Well, Lynn, it's more closely to maybe a polyamorous relationship, as you can say.
Yeah, I guess you could say that, just more dedicated to each one of my partners. Not when I date, if I'm dating a female, I'm just dating her. I'm not looking for anybody else or anything else.
Yeah, and so basically, a lot of times when you're with a female, you don't usually share her with your husband. It's just one on one.
No, there's, I don't do the threesome thing. I don't share in that respect well at all. Matter of fact, I've not had a threesome, and I have not shared my lady with him.
And I can imagine the same thing is. Well, he's heterosexual, right?
Yes.
So he it's just you that he's with?
Yes.
So it's more of a close relationship. You get a girlfriend or a companion, she would be serious with you and stuff, but it basically be like two separate relationships, but they're mostly the same thing, but it's two separate relationships because your husband accepts you.
Yeah, it's two totally different relationships. There's no sharing there. His relationship with me, I am his only female in his life. As he is my only male in my life, and as my lady would be my only lady in my life.
And do y'all, when you with your female companion, do you usually do different things than what you might not do with your husband? Like maybe there's things that maybe he doesn't like or something like that, and you would do with her?
Yeah, with me, a female fulfills a different side of me. Women, I understand why women are with women. There's a lot of reasons, but the side that I see that maybe a lot of people don't understand why women are with women is because of the intense passion and emotion that we have for each other and with each other. I know a lot of men in the heterosexual world believe that two women are together strictly for the sex, and that really turns them on, but sometimes that's true in some relationships, but in mine that's not necessarily true. I enjoy the closeness of the intense passion and the intense emotion that two women can share together that you just can't get with a man.
That's the same thing for me with females too.
Yeah. Men, they just have a different outlook on relationships. my husband is my fishing and my hunting partner. I can't spend 24 hours a day, 7 days with him. Thank God we don't work together. We just live together.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You know, I spend a certain amount of time with him, and I spend a certain amount of time with my lady.
Yeah, because you definitely, it's definitely a difference. Men, to me, in my aspect, to me, it's like men is more mechanical. More mechanical, more of a, you know, like you can do sports things with them, like you can go fishing, or you can watch a football game with them and stuff. And then the way you have sex, to me, having sex with a man is completely different from having sex with a woman. Well, I can get sexual gratification more physical. Well, with a woman, it's more of a mental and a spiritual satisfaction.
And I agree with that, but I have dated ladies in my life that they enjoyed the fishing.
Mm-hmm.
I haven't run into anybody that enjoyed the hunting, but they enjoyed the fishing. I'm more into the female, feminine type than I am the more masculine. Males are more mechanical, I guess you would say, in nature.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
A man can have sex just for sex, just for that. And there doesn't have to be anything else there, where most women that I know, and I'm not going to group everybody into one category, because just as there's a difference between you and me,
mm-hmm.
the same thing with the ladies. But mostly what I get involved with, they are... not so much into the mechanical, more into the emotion and the intense passion and the enjoying of being with each other and spending time, whether that's going to the store or more of a feminine type than you.
Yes. It's more like tantric sex with women. Tantric sex is more of a... It's physical, but it's very spiritual too, and you kind of combining it together, where it's a lot of touching and hugging, and just feeling each other's senses and stuff. And automatically, a woman, you can get with a woman, and automatically, she's gonna like, it's like you, a mirror twin or something. You automatically know what the other wants. So it's like you don't have to say anything. You can just kind of go in the motions, like a dance. With a lot of men, you have to sometimes tell them what you want, or you have to say, no, not that, you know. A lot of times when I want a woman, I never had to say anything. It was just on, you know.
Yeah, it's just instinct. Being female, we know what a female wants pretty much.
And a lot of times, my David, when he with a man, it's the same thing with him. But when he's with me, a lot of times he's like asking questions or something, because he just don't know what to expect or what to feel. But when he gets with a guy, you know, they just go, you know, and do whatever. They don't really say anything.
Yeah, they know pretty much what they want.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's so. In a way, I'm kind of glad that David, he's bisexual, because then a lot of times I just want to be a little me time.
Mm-hmm.
And a lot of old guys, but sometimes they can be a little, they can smother you sometimes.
Yeah.
And I'm kind of glad that he kind of like, because I don't be wanting to do it all the time. You know, it's like I'm at that point where I enjoy it and I love it and everything, but I don't have to have it all the time.
And see, that's the difference where I'm at is... Mine knows that I can't, I'm a very independent person, and I have to have my me time, my time to myself.
Mm-hmm.
And he respects that, and he deals with it. He can always find something for for him to do that. I think they call it the clinging vine syndrome, and that's one thing, thankfully, I don't have to or cannot even accuse him of being. I find that I have more of that with my female, with my wife. She was very, very guilty of that, and that she wanted to be right up in me. I mean, just constantly, 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. Wanted to know where I was going, what I was doing, who I was with. And she would read things into things that weren't there.
Yes, I had a girlfriend. She wasn't like had to be where I was and stuff. It was just that when we went out, this is ended our relationship for like 2 years. We would be going out, and she knew I was bi. She was bisexual too, but she just didn't want to come out and admit she wanted, you know, to be lesbian. So at first, when we first started dating, it was okay. You know, we would actually go to like this club called, at the time it was called Rascals, but now it's called Martinis. And every Friday night they have these male strippers, you know. And we used to go down there Friday night so we can like put money in the male strippers' G-strings and have a little fun and everything, you know. And as we moved in together and as things went by, she started getting a little paranoid, like thinking that I'm going to run off with a guy and stuff. And so with the male strippers, we got kind of well acquainted. Like every time we see each other at the club, we would speak to each other because it was the same one all the time. And we would speak to each other, and he would say, hey, what's up, and everything. And she would get all mad and everything. It's like every time I would look around or something, she got mad. Well, at the beginning, it didn't bother her. And it ended the relationship eventually because it's like it was just smothering me.
Well, that's, to me, that's a trust issue.
Yes.
I know the current lover that I have now, and I've been with her for almost a year, I guess. I had to laugh at her in that we went to a college campus. There were some things there that we needed to get and needed to do. And there was a young lady, had long black hair, tall, and that's my thing. Tall and long hair. And she thought I was going to kill myself because I turned around and I looked and walked backwards and watched her walk down the street. And she said I reminded her of something in The Exorcist. She said my head did live a 360 like an owl. But she said that was okay, that she understood that I was going to look, that she's comfortable enough with me, that she knows me well enough, that I'm going home with her that night. Yes, I'm going to look. That's my nature. But that doesn't mean that I'm going to touch.
Yes, that's me. That's at least how David is. Me and David is like that. It's like we look and all that stuff, but we don't worry about that.
Yeah. And I think that's human nature is to look. I am normally kind of concerned if somebody doesn't look.
Yes, me too.
If I know that they have a propensity for a particular physical attraction and they don't turn around and look, then is it they're worried about what I'm going to think or what I'm going to do, or is it them?
Yeah.
Because it's human nature to look. And if you don't look, then there's something missing or not right in the relationship, in that do you feel uncomfortable looking And if so, why? Are you afraid I'm going to get mad? Or are you, you know, whatever. Is it you're afraid I'm going to get mad? Or you are you afraid it's going to interfere with our trust issues? Or, you know, so many different things.
Yeah, that's when communication comes in. Communication to me is really important. Trust to me is number one, and communication is number two. You don't have those two things, the relationship is just doomed.
Yeah. If you can't communicate and you can't trust each other, then you are going to have problems, and the relationship's not going to last.
Mm-hmm.
Which, and I see so much of that, whether it's in the straight community or in the queer community.
I think it's in both. Most relationships.
Yeah, and that's what I'm saying. It doesn't matter whether it's in the straight community or the queer community. The straight community doesn't understand bi's, and I think some parts of the queer community don't understand the bi relationships.
Yeah, a lot of times the gay people, like they had a segment last week with the Hatch segment, and one of the young ladies was saying that they get a little envious or irritated because it's like, okay, they can be gay and stuff, and then go to the stereotype, I mean, go to the problems that gay people go through in the world, but then they can go into the straight world and fit right on in and don't have this, go to this world where, oh, you're gay, you're a lesbian, you know. Ugh. You know, we can kind of blend in into society either way. We can be gay, we can blend in the gay society, or we can blend in over here. And a lot of gay people, some gay people kind of find that kind of, you know, envy, kind of they envy you or something like that.
Okay, if I'm understanding, I think I'm understanding what you're saying, but I think that's a stigma or misconception that they may have, in that I see that we're neither accepted by the straight community or
the gay community.
The queer, the gay community. I know when I go to a club, if I'm dating, and somebody comes up to me and asks me to dance and then asks me for my phone number, you know, the first thing I tell them, and I'm very straightforward and to the point, I tell them I am bi and I am married to a male. And I don't know how many lesbians I have seen run for the door.
Oh, me too.
You know, and it just amazes me that there's the misconception about bi's, or even the non-belief that bisexuals even exist.
And see, a lot of times, it might be just me, but a lot of times I see that maybe a lot of bi males, when they try to get with a gay man, that, yeah, they got some gay males that, like, ooh, you know. But then you got others that's like, oh, I can deal with that. You know, that's cool. I can see that in the male community, in the gay community, it's easy for them to accept it than it is for lesbians.
Yeah. It's a lot easier for a gay male to accept than it is for a female, and I think that's that goes back to the sheer physicality between males, where I think a lesbian female does not believe that being bisexual and being married, you can have that passion and emotion that we normally have between each other.
And like a lot of times they just so wigged out with males in general, like the idea they are so, you know, going like on the Kinsey scale, the number six, they way over that way, they just can't. They it's in a way like it grosses them out or something like that.
Yeah, because they don't. There's a lot of things that they just don't understand about us and the way that we are and how we do things. I know that if I'm going to be with my girlfriend, it's going to be quite a while before I'm with my husband. It's not I'm with him tonight and her tomorrow night. That's just, that doesn't happen.
Yeah. Yeah,
I think that's part of what grosses them out, and they just don't understand that concept for the most part.
Yeah, so I find a lot of times when I go to the Binet meetings and things, and there'd be guys there, they would have their lovers, male lovers with them, and they're cool with it, and you would see that more than you would see the lesbians couples. You see a woman with a guy, but you won't see them with another female. Mm-hmm. It's very rare to see that at a bi conference or whatever, meeting or whatever. And, maybe one day it'll change where lesbians will be more comfortable with this. The idea that maybe bisexuality is more existent. Because I find that gay males are starting to believe that bisexuality exists more than the female community is.
I find males in the gay community a whole lot more accepting of my lifestyle than I do the female community. And I don't understand why I would think that they would be more understanding than the males are.
Mm-hmm.
So it really amazes me. But I know in the past 20 years, I've seen a change. We went through a period of we weren't accepted, we weren't acknowledged, we didn't exist.
Yeah.
To a short period of time where we were accepted within the lesbian community. And it, for a time, I thought, I was actually going to be understood and be able to be extremely comfortable in it. And then it was like there was a wall of mistrust thrown up. I know I have a friend that is lesbian, and she's always kidding me about sitting on the wall. She tells me, well, you need to choose one side or the other. And we've been friends for 20-some-odd years, and I tell her, I have chosen which side of the wall I want to be on, which is right smack in the middle.
And I find it amazing because even my straight friends are starting to accept that. You just like that. It's just you.
Yeah.
More. That's the reason why I'm hoping one day that we could, the lesbian, because I remember when we had the gay camp out, the binary camp out, and we was at the Rainbow Camp, and they had these women that was running the camp that day, and they did not want us there. They let us know they didn't want us there. We offending the gay people that are there. But the gay people that was there were cool with us. I mean, they was bringing their pot, they mixed their drinks in some big old coolers and stuff with the drinks. Mm-hmm. And they would bring them over, and we would share. We had a drumming. They would all come over and had drumming and stuff. I mean, they were like, shoot, these people are fun. Let's hang out with these folks, you know. But they were saying, but these were mostly gay men that were mm-hmm. out there camping, they were like lovers and stuff. They would come over on IN, and we would go over there, and we would just have fun and stuff. And the people that was at the front desk, the lesbians, they were like, they couldn't see us having a good time. I don't know if they did or not, but they just did not want us there. So we didn't go there no more after that. We had to find another location.
I I understand that you know, I've taken a lot of time to try to understand the lesbian community, and I am no expert by any means, and I probably have it really, really messed up. I understand that some just do not find males attractive. There's no chemistry, there's no physical, there's no emotional, there's no passion, there's no anything.
Yes, like with gay men, they can be completely gay. Like, they love men and that's it. But they can admire a woman. They can look at, oh man, she's pretty, look at her. You know, they can admire her just... Yeah. Being a female, just she's a beautiful person. Don't have to be no sexual or nothing about it. And every gay person that I know admires, you know, they can admire a female. You know, in a way like we might admire, you know, like a dog is real pretty or something. I mean, you know what I'm saying? They can admire a female. They can be friends with a female. They can understand a female. And, you know, kind of, you know, hey, girl, you know, we talk about men and talk about, you know, homeboy hurt your feelings and all that. You can go to them and talk about your relationships or whatever. But with women, that don't usually happen with men.
No. You know, as I say, and, you know, there are those that, you know, just have no physical or emotional or whatever attraction to a male, or they've had bad relationships with them, or been abused by them, and that's something I think that I don't care. I believe they were talking about this on the program before us, was that you're going to have domestic violence, whether it's in the gay community, lesbian, gay males, straight,
mm-hmm.
heterosexual, bisexual, it's out there, and it's one of the things that we need to...
No, it doesn't discriminate.
No, not by any stretch of the imagination. And that's one of the things that I guess I can say that I have been extremely lucky in is that I've not had that problem in any of my relationships other than a yelling, screaming female in my life.
Yeah, that I went through that, and but I never had somebody just dominate me and I didn't do the vice versa. Yeah, and I'm kind of glad I didn't do that. And a lot of times, you can get with a guy like that or a female like that, and you can see it coming, and you know to get out of the way.
It's time to get someplace.
Yeah. You know, maybe we were lucky. I had a good, strong mother.
Yeah.
And that's part of the reason why I noticed stuff coming. Some people, they just grew up with their mothers, just didn't... They were strong, but they weren't strong in ways of dealing with domineering men or women. So it's... They pass it on to their daughter, and their daughter will just copycat them, even though they don't, subconsciously, they don't realize they're doing it until way down the line.
Yeah, there's a way to be strong, but not overly dominant. Although I'm told at times that I'm over dominant in certain things, but then that comes into my passion, and I don't see that as a dominant thing, but I see it as that I'm very passionate about some things.
Yeah, I don't see you as a dominant person. I see you as a strong person.
Yeah.
I mean, it's two different things.
And I think that's, you know, one of those misconceptions that's out there is there's a difference between being dominant and being extremely passionate about something.
See, I find it very interesting. A lot of the times, the men that I date, very masculine types, you know, they can get dirty and stuff. They're not afraid to work on a car or fix something or get their hands dirty. And I have a tendency to be attracted to women the same way. I never really was really attracted to the ultimate film.
Yeah. See, in the past, all that's what's different about the female that I'm with right now, with my lover, is that I have always been attracted to the femme, the female, high maintenance, where this one, she is lesbian.
Mm-hmm.
She's taken a risk. She knows the relationship before she even got involved with me. She, you know, I told her I'm bi, I'm married, I have a husband, have been for 20 some odd years, blah, blah, blah.
Mm-hmm.
And she is the type that she's butch. She can keep a house clean. But she'll get out there and she'll help you change an engine in a car in a heartbeat.
Yeah, that's pretty cool. She got both worlds there.
Mm-hmm. She was what I would say, you know, raised in a good way, in that she knows how to take care of herself, and she knows how to do the things that are need to be done, and she's learned things that most females I know don't know how to do. I'm not going to lie. I would not even begin to know how to start to take a motor out of a car.
My girlfriend was like that, too. She can work on a car. I don't know how to do that. You know, she would do the hard matrix stuff around the place. And now, you know, but what I liked about her is she was like that, but then she would like to go get her hair fixed.
Mm-hmm.
You know, she was the one who people go get her nails done, get her hair done and everything, and she would get in that kitchen and just burn some food. I mean, you know, and we used to take turns, like alternate days when we cook.
Yeah. And that's a good relationship when you can do that, when, you know, when one comes in from work and the other one's too tired to cook,
mm-hmm.
or you see that the laundry needs to be done, and
that's her.
You're willing to pick up and take that little extra step forward and do that.
Yeah, that's how it was for us. Like, laundry needs to be done, and one of us is too tired. I go do it, and some days she'll go do it. It wasn't no big deal. It's like, oh, you didn't do it yesterday. It's like, oh, she's tired, I go do it. You know, it's no big deal.
Yeah.
And there's, I mean, another thing I like about women too is, compared to men, is they can be romantic, and they don't have to think about it or ask you about it. Like, one day I came home from work real late, and she had the bath water ran for me and everything, had everything set up already, and I was like, oh, nice, you know. And a lot of times somebody got to turn around and tell a guy that they gotta learn it. With a woman, they just like do it. It's like, well, she's going to be tired once she get home. Let me see what I can make it easier for her. So you run some bath water and stuff.
See, and I have to stop and think, you know, okay, what is romance? How do I show my appreciation? How do I show my love? How do I show my compassion, you know. I'm the type of person that I have to stop and I have to think about what's romantic.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm in my 40s, you know. Go figure this out. I mean, I can clean house, I can cook. I like I like to go for my manicure and my pedicure. Can't change an engine out of a car. I can change my oil if I have to. But in that same respect, it's taken me 40-something years to learn what romance is. That, like you said, running bath water, putting fresh flowers the living room table, so that's one of the first things they see, with a card.
Basically, like to put little notes on the refrigerator and, you know, like just spur the moment, call them up when they at work and just say, hey, I just want to call you, tell you I love you, and, you know, just, And just little things like that.
I've never been that type. I'll more do the set the candles out and turn on some romantic music and cook dinner.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, kind of that type. That's my way of romance.
Well, yeah, it's good. You know, the candles and stuff, turn all the lights out and just have this music playing and yeah. Eat dinner on the floor instead of at the table.
And sit and have good conversation, you know, how was the day, you know, what's been going on. And
many other times we would, like, rent some movies. And she would sit, lean up against the couch on the floor. And I would just sit in between the legs and just lean up against them. Yeah. We would watch the movie together. You know, massage each other when we were watching a movie. Or, you know, just different little things like that. You know, you don't have to be really drastic. You can just do little simple things. And I find that a lot of times, some guys were really good at it. But it's a lot of times they're left-handed guys, is a heterosexual. I find that a lot of those guys were that way. They would, like, just go all at it. Like, you come home and say, whoa, this guy, he went through some trouble to make sure I was happy. But, I mean, like, most guys, they got to learn that stuff. It's like,
what am I supposed to do here? they have no concept of the art of romance.
Because I find that, like, gays, I find that gays can be very romantic with each other. It's like, and maybe they have that right brain thing going, or, you know, they got a little femininity in them, so they can kind of go at it and do that stuff. I know a lot of my gay friends to be really creative with their lovers, you know, and stuff.
Yeah. And for the most part, they are.
And like you said, they came up with queer guy for the straight guy.
Queer eye.
Yeah, queer eye for the straight. Yeah, I mean, that's an example right there that this gay man is taking this guy and teaching him how to, you know, fix them up, get them all cleaned up and pretty and everything, and, you know, get where he's cooking her dinner and be romantic. He's teaching him how to be more romantic and stuff, make her happy. Mm-hmm. I find it very interesting. It's like, because, and I said, I never thought about that, but these gay guys do know about this stuff more.
Yep, they do. I have met quite a few gay males that, when it comes to makeup, can literally blow most females I know away. It's just a sense, it's something they have the ability to do.
And boy, don't let them be in a hairdresser.
Yeah.
You know, you need to do this with your hair. You know, you need to use this product, and you know, it's like, man, I just put some grease in my hair and keep going.
Keep on going, yeah.
Yeah, the thing about relationships like me and David, we're more open, but the thing about it is I always tell people that decide to want to do that, before I go out with another woman or whatever, you know, even when I go with another guy, I can even do it with other men and he can do it with other women. It's how open we are.
Yeah.
We always let each other know, like, you know, the guy that there's a friend that was in the studio today, you know, might want to have a little fun here and there. So I went to David, you know, and said, hey, David, you know, blah, blah, blah. I want to have a little fun. And he said, yeah, okay, you know, it's cool. It's because sometimes I would, like, find some guys and David just felt very uncomfortable with that guy, period. And I don't have nothing to do with him being jealous or nothing. He just got this funny feeling. So I would ask him, and he said, well, I don't know about that guy. He's kind of, you know, so I won't fool with him.
Mm-hmm.
But then he'll come to me the same way. Even when he go to Midtown and stuff, he'll come and tell me, hey, Robin, I'm going to Midtown. Is that cool? Yeah, go ahead, you know, just to make sure we always let each other know what we're doing. Because even though we had this open relationship, it's good to know what each other doing, you know what I'm saying? Yeah.
The communications in any relationship
is very important.
Very, very important. And it's, you're more into the polyamor side of the community than I am.
Mm-hmm.
And that's one of the things that has really amazed me about our community is there's just so many different parts and variables and differences, and you know, that's why I like to come on to the program every once in a while and talk about the bisexuality and past, present, and even hope for future relationships is, you know, let people know that yeah.
And
there's,
see,
a lot of different parts to the community, and this is a part of the community, and they're just, I know there's several lesbians that have open relationships.
I mean, I ran into this couple at one party. Gene was having a party on New Year's Eve, or I think it was a Toka party, I can't remember. And it was this couple, Pauline Kirkle, and come to find out they're both bisexual. So it's like, they kind of like us, you know. Mm-hmm. And then we ran into another couple that was more closed, but they were poly. Mm-hmm. They would like to have a male and a female couple come in, and it's just them four. Nobody else, just them four. Then there are other couples where they have like, they be just at four, and they got kids and stuff, and they all move in the same house together as one big family. Yeah. I mean, there's so many different types of relationships. You know, then you got like this situation with you where you get with a woman, you have a girlfriend, and you got a husband, and it's two different separate relationships, doesn't never merge together.
Right.
That y'all don't never really hang out together. It's basically you with her, and then you with him. And then you got couples that are like that, but then they can eat dinner together. They can, like, be friends with the husband or whatever. You know, you got all these different variations of couples, and bisexuality makes it more variation.
Yeah. And the lady that I consider my wife in the relationship prior to this one that I'm in now, that was one of the things that I wanted was for she and he to be able to get along.
Mm-hmm.
And for us to be able to have that ability to... I got you, Chris.
Well, we're going to have to wind it down. It's getting the top of the hour. So we just let you know that you can tune in on us. That maybe we're going to start being on the second Saturday of the month. The mm-hmm. first Saturday of the month, we have bi movie night at the Gay and Lesbian, 3400 block on the second floor.
3400 block of what?
Of Montrose.
Ah, Montrose Boulevard.
And it's at 7:30 every first Saturday of the month.
At the community center.
And every third Thursday at the Hobbit Cafe on Richmond, we have bi meeting night, and you can go there and get some nice hamburgers and stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And we talk about what we just talked about on the air, basically as a follow up. You're welcome to come to that, and that's at the Hobbit at 7:30 every third Thursday of the month.
Now, it's not exactly on Richmond. That's, you know, it's
weird. It's
yeah.
The reason why I say Richmond, because it's like a major street that maybe mm-hmm. you can
go through the parking lot of that other restaurant that is on Richmond. It was around the 1200 block.
Yeah, it's basically, you can see the sign, the Hobbit sign sticking out in it.
Okay.
So yeah. So
okay.
you can't help but see it once you know. In between Kirby and Shepherd, basically.
Okay. Well, I, you know, after this segment, we need to have Lynn on more often.
Yeah, we do.
Yeah.
Well, you know, it just depends on whenever she can get released out of captivity to come down here.
I know it. It's great.
I like walking that fine line and scaring people.
It's good to have a different view of bisexuality.
It is.
You've been listening to After Hours, Queer Radio with Attitude on listener-sponsored commercial-free Pacifica Radio for the Gulf Coast, KPFT Houston, 90.1 FM, 89.5 Galveston, and always the World Wide Web at kpft.org. You can check out an article about our show and its 20th anniversary on Outsmart Magazine, page 72. Just ignore the cover. Or you can go to outsmartmagazine.com.
Yes.
For those of you out in cyberland.
Please do. Please do. You learn all about the show and the history and Chris and I and all kinds of good stuff.
So
it's a great, great article.
So check that out. And
Nancy Ford, who's been a frequent guest on this show.
Yeah, I like how Judy got bigger billing.
Yeah, no kidding. And during the rest of the month, we'll be playing more music from the late 80s that we used to play on this show. I brought a bunch of it tonight, but gosh, we had such a packed show, we didn't get to play much of it.
Yes, more and more vinyl.
Yes.
All right. Now it's time for
Laura Palooza, and she is here.
And before that,
ready to go on
your PSAs.
September 11th remains a time of reflection for many Americans, not only to remember those who died in the World Trade Center strikes, but to remember the military actions and loss of all life undertaken under such a pretense. Around the city of Houston, people will become...
The free program you just heard was paid for by the listener members of KPFT Houston. If you're not already a KPFT member, we encourage you to join with us in keeping free speech alive by becoming one. Basic membership is still $35 a year. You don't have to, but you'll feel better. Thanks for listening.